be told, truth be told, truth be told. On Tuesday evening, we were not able to have the show. So tonight, Liar Liar Pants on Fire, hanging from a telephone wire. Remember, we used to say that when someone told lies as a kid? Well, this evening, Montana Joe, my brother from another mother, would like to discuss influences as society's conditioning, the lies we were told, the propaganda we face, the construction of the matrix, which he states most people don't realize even exists. Even I'm excited to hear what he has to say. There are a lot of truths being uncovered these days, and we should know about them as well as the other obstacles we face in life. I'm your hostess, Ms. Inez, CEO and fashion designer of Inez Dalco Design, and number one international best-selling author in the U.S. and the U.K. And we are broadcasting and welcoming you, the worldwide listening audience, this Thursday, April the 18th, 2024. So call in to 845-241-9985 to be on the air, Skype, listen in the chat room at www.blogtalkradio.com/Let's Do It Radio, or if you know my telephone number, you can always text me. Maybe you missed an episode. Well, you can listen on demand at www.blogtalkradio.com/Let's Do It Radio. Please subscribe, like, and follow us at the same. You can also donate to keep Let's Do It Radio on the air. Cash App, $ANAISEVALTOUR, or to Venmo at MC-INEZ, or to Zelle if you know Marcel or Martel. So, worldwide listeners, looking forward to your input and reactions. Join us tonight on Let's Do It Radio. Miss Inez says, let's talk about it. Truth be told with Montana Joe. So, truth be told is a figure of speech, a scheme that is a shortened version of the phrase, if the truth be told. It is a prepositional phrase meaning to be honest or in all honesty. That what follows is the truth, or even let's be honest. People always say that, let me be honest. You've been telling me a lie this whole time. That used to, what used people used to say. So I welcome my brother from another mother, Montana Joe, to the panel as he has the topic, influences as society's conditioning, the lies we were told, propaganda we face, the construction of the matrix, and let's give him a round of applause. Let's put our hands together. Applause, applause, applause. Let's go with the applause. Yes, yes. My brother from another mother, as I always say. Welcome, 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 Joe. How are you? Joe? Oh, now you're going to go mute on me? You weren't ready for the applause, probably. You're on the air. Okay, while he gets his system together. Hey, Joe, you want to give it a go? Can you hear me? Mic check 1212. Okay. So, as when he gets ready, he'll be coming on. But he had some questions that's really burning, in his chest, on his heart, or what have you, about basically society and the conditioning that we're under. Joe, did you unmute? And also about the lies we were told, or we are being told, or have been told, as well as the propaganda that we face. And this is what got me, the construction of the matrix. Now, me, I'm thinking that the matrix is, Keanu Reeves, The Matrix, but he has a whole different concept as far as the construction of the matrix. So once he comes on, he will be speaking with us. So what I have found on the construction of the matrix, which I don't think is the same thing as what he was talking about, is, let's see. Hold on just a second. One moment, please, as we see what's going on today. Okay. He's calling back in because his phone system is not working at the moment, so he'll be calling back in. But what I found as a construction of the matrix is immediately following the death of Franco in 1976, a selection of works by different avant-garde Spanish artist was presented by the Venice Biennale. During a moment of uncertainty, confusion, and longing for domestic reconstruction of Spain after almost 40 years of dictatorship, Francesc Torres presented the installation Construction of the Matrix. A human figure in a fetal position is projected over a pile of earth covered with empty bullet cartridges. Two books illuminated by reading lamps lay open on the pile. On both sides of the projection, the lamp with greatest intensity consisting of a 60-watt light bulb was directed at the Communist Manifesto and directly opposite illuminated by a lamp with a 15-watt bulb. Lay the New Testament. So hopefully this is Joe. Hold on.
Yeah. Did he arrive? Did he finally get here? We've been waiting for him. The star. You finally got Joe from Montana. He's a star. I've been waiting. Has he been on?
He just flew in. He just flew in from Montana and arrived in Florida.
In Florida. Well, that is great. We've all been waiting for him. How you doing, Inez?
Yes, we have. I am wonderful. How are you doing, fine sir? Brother from another mother. Did you even hear the hand clap?
Yeah, I heard that.
What happened was my phone screwed up.
And it showed that I had a connection, but then I got a message saying that I didn't have a connection. So now I'm using my other line to call in.
Same
phone, but it's a different line. The thing is, this one's cellular, so this one should have no interruption. The other one was Wi-Fi, and the Wi-Fi, sometimes it gets screwy. So this one I'm using cellular. And we're going to talk about the Matrix. And as you were talking about with Keanu Reeves, the Matrix isn't just that science fiction type of scenario where, we're all asleep and yet our energy is being drained by aliens. We might be, who knows, but that's not what I'm talking about. What I'm talking about is the, you want to be in that situation?
Red pill, blue pill. I like red. I'll take the red pill. Thank you very much.
Oh, yeah? The red pill ended you up in Neo's spaceship. The blue pill had you in your dream. So which was better, the dream or the reality?
Reality.
Reality was better?
We all have to face reality. Yes, we all have to face reality. So I'd rather be in reality, realization. Mm-hmm.
Well, I'd rather be in reality in our particular world. But back in the movie, I'd rather be in the dream. Because in reality, the spaceship broke down. I forgot what happened to the spaceship. Did they die? Did they live? What happened?
hey, they had to wake up because they had to be detached, I believe. But it was real. I mean, you go to sleep and you wake up from your dreams, and it's like everything's all gone. You have to, you know, be normal and natural. And this way, in reality, you can't, it's hard for you to relive what you've already lived before.
Yeah, but what happened in the movie? The people in the spaceship, Neo was Keanu Reeves.
Right.
I forgot the name of the actor who played.
Trinity. We had Trinity. We had Lawrence Fishburne. We had.
Lawrence Fishburne. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
What happened to him and his crew in the spaceship?
Well, at what point? Because they had what? How many matrices did they have? 4 or 5?
Yeah, like that. Something like that, yeah. But in the original Matrix.
You should have had us watch the movie before we did all this, because it's been a while.
Yeah, for me too. In any case, the thing is that the Matrix that we're all in today is, let me say this. You're a black woman born in America. Therefore, you have inculcated within you the mindset of black culture mixed in with American culture, mixed in with old traditionalism, mixed in with history, all of that good stuff. But it's all American,
okay.
African-American. Now, let's say your parents, both of whom were black, were in the Army, and they were over in Japan, okay? And they gave birth to you in Japan, and you stayed in Japan, right, till you were about 30.
Mm-hmm.
Wouldn't your mindset be different?
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because I'd be attached to that culture, and not to the culture that I should be attached to.
Well, you'd
like
be attached
black
to
Japanese,
that culture.
Yeah,
you'd be a
right,
Japanese.
And I'd be like a black chef.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you'd be a African Japanese as opposed to an African American, right? Now, you'd also have a mixture of American culture because your American parents, unless they stayed over there and loved the Japanese culture so much, would teach you about American culture. So it's all about philosophy, and the philosophy comes from being exposed to different situations, to the environment, society, school, your classmates, your relatives, your nuclear family, Hollywood, or the TV, film.
Life.
Radio,
life,
social
basically.
Media. Mm-hmm.
Just basically life.
Exactly. So where do our mindsets come from? From basically life. It comes from outside sources. We're not born with any predisposed direction one
concept.
Way or another. That's right.
Mm-hmm.
No predisposed concept except you want to eat, you want to go to the bathroom, you want to be warm, and we want to be cuddled by our parents. Other than that, our mind is an open slate, right? So it's our DNA coming across what society has given us in the form of nature. Again, it's the school system, it's our classmates, et cetera, et cetera. So that's how we get to believe what we believe. Now, if we trust authority figures such as our parents, or our school teachers, or our politicians, or the people in the media, that shapes our philosophies, our thought processes, what we believe in. Do you agree with me?
Yes.
I detected a hesitation there.
No, I said yes.
Well, okay. So as a result of that, our personalities are formed. It's our DNA, what we're predisposed to becoming, to learning, to being, interacting with what our classmates are again, what our relatives teach us, our experiences, how we react to those experiences. That's where our DNA comes in. Let's say, for example, somebody's in a very abusive home, right? They have alcoholic mothers and fathers, okay? Now, some people will come out of that and become very, very altruistic people. They'll become like Albert Schweitzer, Mother Teresa, or you can come out of that and become Al Capone, right?
Mm-hmm.
Lucky Luciano.
Mm-hmm.
You can become either one.
Anybody.
So it's our
mm-hmm.
DNA. Yeah. So it's our DNA, and that's because they believe that what they're doing is right. Society treated me so badly, I'm going to get back at them. Hurt people. Or
right.
Some people can, you know, depending upon either finding it, doing it on their own or because of their religious teachings,
mm-hmm.
can say, I had a heartbreaking life, but, you know, that's the way it is. And I forgive those people, my parents, for being alcoholics. And maybe they'll go on to become a scientist. Who knows? Okay?
Mm-hmm.
But what we believe mm-hmm. in as what is right is dependent upon what we see and how much we trust in those institutions and those entities that give us these messages. When you were a kid, weren't you taught about Santa Claus?
Yes.
Weren't you taught about the Tooth Fairy?
Yes, I got lots of money for that. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay, you got, all right. So they give you dollars and quarters for every lost tooth. You were taught about leprechauns.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Easter Bunny?
Yes.
Didn't you believe all of that?
Yes.
Okay, but then as you grew up, your parents told you otherwise. I didn't like it when my parents told me that Santa Claus didn't exist. You know? Didn't like it at all.
Right.
So, uh-huh. and the Easter Bunny and everything else, and you know, and we were taught there were fairy tales. Okay, fine. But we get to our fairy tales
okay.
in life. Like,
hold okay. on a second. Hold on a second. Okay, so then after you found out that they were, quote, unquote, lying to you, did you keep on believing anything they had to say?
Yeah, because I got taught that the reason why they taught me this, the reason why they ended it now is because what they were saying wasn't the truth. It was a fairy tale meant to be
mm-hmm.
a story for children. Okay, I didn't like it, but I accepted it as
mm-hmm.
okay. But now let's say I wasn't taught it was a fairy tale. Let's just say, you know, after a few years, let's say I was 5, 6, or 7, then my mother and father said to me, "Hey, Joe, you know, you're not getting any more presents anymore. How come?" "Well, there's no such thing as Santa Claus." "Well, why? Well, then why did you tell me that?" "Well, we just thought it'd be a good idea. We just want to let you know. So we're letting you know now there's no such thing as Santa Claus." Now, if they didn't tell me that it was a fairy tale, that everybody got told it was Santa Claus, and then later on they got told that it was only meant, you know, for children so that they could enjoy Christmas,
mm-hmm.
then my parents
mm-hmm.
would be liars. But in a way, I still didn't trust them, but I got over it, you know, because it's a fairy tale.
Right.
But suppose we're taught that the Ukraine is the enemy of America and they attacked Russia. And then we learn later on that's not true. So we were told a lie.
Right.
That means we were in the matrix. We believe that. If we were taught that your parents, for example, didn't like your boyfriend and they told you a lie about him, right, and they made you break up with them as a result of telling you these lies because they just didn't like them. Now, they're going to tell you, well, it was for your own good, Inez, but they did it in such a way to make you break up with them without being straight with you. That's the matrix. That's telling you a lie for the purpose of their reasons. Maybe they'll say it's for your own good, but mainly it's because they just didn't like them. So all of these messages that we get that form our philosophies about what is right, what is true, what is fact, what is fiction, that's the matrix.
Mm-hmm.
That's us believing what other people have told us because we believe them, we trusted them, but they told us either because they lied to us for their own nefarious purposes or they did it because they were mistaken, but then we still believed their mistaken perceptions about what the truth is. So that's the Matrix. We do what we do because we believe that what we're doing is the right course of action. When we have that type of perception and we have that concept and we have that sense of direction for the wrong reasons, that's the Matrix. That's us being caught in a psychological dynamic of believing lies. When those lies are told to us because the people telling us the lies want to manipulate us against what's good for us, that's the Matrix. So we're all caught in the Matrix. We have to learn how to discern from fact, from lies. We have to know, are these things, these messages, these ideas that people are telling us, are they really true? That's why it's very important because, for example, you and everybody else that comes to the show, you're religious people. Some of you have, I guess, different sects of denomination. Some of you may be Baptists, Catholics, Episcopalians, whatever, right? But you're believing a philosophy that God exists because basically because of the Bible, which is open to interpretation from different religious denominations. So you have to ask yourself, well, which denomination has the real truth, right?
Hmm.
Is it the Episcopalian?
Right.
Is it the Catholics? Or are atheists right? Or are the Satanists, are they correct? You know what I read the other day? There's a follower. She's either a YouTube influencer or somebody in politics. I forget which. But she's a Luciferian. But she describes her particular belief in Lucifer not as that as being satanic, but because Lucifer is the light, is another form of God, which is on the bright side. She didn't go that much into it, but she doesn't believe that Lucifer is bad. So who's to say who's correct? Again, part of the Matrix. When you examine your life, you personally, and anybody else that comes on the show, subsequent to what we're talking about now, they're going to have to, you know, if they should be philosophical, and they should just examine their lives. I remember last time we were on the show, and I was talking about how the educational system makes people stupid, right? Do you remember?
Right.
Yeah. Do you remember? Do you remember Reverend Ron's reaction? It was like he almost had an epiphany that, yeah, it's the educational system, which is why students grow up to be proficient in math, not to be proficient in English, and therefore have a hard time in life. It was as though he just realized the full depth of that particular statement of mine, of the reasoning of why people, you know, grow up to be stupid because they're not taught how to think in school to begin with, and they're not taught how to be good at academics because the teachers are bad, the textbooks are written lousy, the curriculums are crap, and then these poor kids, right, when they take standardized tests, and they fail these standardized tests. Now, let me ask you a question. If a kid goes to grammar school, elementary school, mid school, and high school with bad marks, and he graduates like in the lowest 10% of his class, when he graduates, is he automatically going to become a genius? Or do you think he's going to continue being a moron?
Okay, say that again.
When this kid who is scores in the lower 10% of proficiency in math and in English, right, has failed a lot of his tests, when he graduates from high school, is he going to continue being a moron, or is he all of a sudden now a genius?
Well, until he gets either educated or he goes down a different path to at least create some type of intellectual concepts within his brain, he'll, I won't say never amount to much, but he won't amount to much.
Well, he'll be a moron because his brain is not. See, all of our brains, we're born geniuses, in my opinion. But our brains are very, very malleable. And if you have lousy education, if you have lousy teachers, lousy curriculum, lousy textbooks, if you have lousy ideas coming at you from different sources, putting you into the matrix, then how are you going to escape from that? If you've had 12 years being an academic failure, you don't know how to multiply 3 times 3 times 3. You don't know algebra. You don't know your own language that well. You can't think. You're a functional illiterate. When you graduate high school, you're not all of a sudden, you're not going to become a genius. You have to, as you just finished saying, if you're not on the path to some sort of intellectual reconstruction, is the way I'll put it, if you haven't discovered that you need to really know the basics of algebra, you really need to know your language well in order to think and grasp abstract concepts, you're going to remain a functional illiterate. Functional illiterates are stupid people.
Can I pause you right there for a second?
Sure.
Lorianne says hi, but that's not why I'm pausing you. So,
hey, Lorianne. All right.
Hey. What I don't understand, I know you're talking about, you know, going through grades 1 through 12 and you becoming stupid. And see, that's maybe another topic that we can even discuss that this evening. How can you just push kids through school and not know that
Good
they
topic.
Don't know anything? You know?
Good topic.
I mean, we can, you know, after we talk about that, because it's like you, this child has been going through school and supposed to be learning, and if he's failing on his test, but yet you still keep pushing him through, I don't understand. That just really bothers and befangles me. How are you going to get a child to graduation and just overlook them if they're not, receiving education? That just, I can't see that. Either the teachers are just being just as stupid as the children, or they're not paying attention to really what they should be doing. They're not educating. They should not be educators.
Well, they shouldn't be educators,
that's
and
all.
Some of them are stupid, if not most of them. But the thing is, a lot of them are being paid to rush through a curriculum. They're pushing the curriculum as opposed to pushing the kids to become intelligent. So there's a book that's been written, I don't know, 20 years ago. It's called The Dumbing Down of America. A lot of this is an adherence to the Communist Manifesto as to infiltrate the schools and make sure that the children are stupid. So this is an incrementalistic type of behavior on the part of the people who run the schools, which is the government. Now, do you trust the government? Do you trust Congress, by and large?
To do what?
To be honest.
Does that answer your question?
What was that? Yeah, so you don't, right? Right, exactly. They're not honest.
I don't think that a lot of them don't. Well, some of them don't have the children's best interests, you know, at hand.
Precisely.
I mean, if that's the case, then we wouldn't have so many children shooting up schools. We wouldn't, you know, we would still have, I know you don't do prayer, we'd still have prayer in the schools. We'd still have some type of what do you want to call it, chastisement, you know. Oh, go ahead and spank me. I'm going to call the police. Here, let me dial it for you, 911, and let's also call CPS at the same time. And I talked about
right.
during Bebe's kids, you know, because, you know, the kids will walk over everybody. But, see, they are the caretakers for however long school goes now. I don't know if it's 8 hours, how long. So they are the caretakers of our children during that time. And they should be able to do what they need to do in line. You know, because if they're with them, a third of the day, and then with us, with the parents, whatever percentage, because, you know, we got households that have two parents that work 24/7, so we don't even see our kids. And so, therefore, they may be the only face that our children see a lot of times. And so me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. But if we have to go into the school and put some hands to them buns, go ahead. That didn't hurt me when I was growing up, and I think that's what's wrong now. Children have way too much, right?
Leniency.
They have children's rights. Well, no, that's right, actually, because, you know, they can take people to court now. It's like, look, I'm still good. I didn't get damaged or bruised when I got spankings when I was young. It made me a better person. So now we can't even chastise our children because, oh, the law of the land is, you know, we can't, you know, chastise our children because it's child abuse. Hey, there's not no child abuse. It depends on how you chastise that person. Maybe some people are abusing their children, but that doesn't mean it's child abuse if we're chastising our children. Does that make sense?
It does, and I'm away from chastising the children and putting give the children the strap if that's what the child needs.
That's what I'm saying. That chastising, spanking, you know, get that branch that we used to have to get, and don't get the small one, because if you do get a small one, you're going to go back out there and get a bigger one. Oh, yeah, get an extension cord, a shoe, anything that mama could grab, because my mom was 4'10 and a half, and she had four of us for a long time, and then the fifth one later on. She had to corral us into the bathroom so we wouldn't run. Because every time we'd run, mm-hmm. she was the one who'd get hurt, not us. And we'd laugh. I'm sorry, Mom. Rest her soul. But none of us got hurt. A couple of us turned out okay. I'm just kidding. Because there was five of us. But, I just think we need to reinstate a lot of things back into society. And if we have to do a change.org something, that's what we have to do, because these children are getting out of hand. They're ruling the roost. They're taking over. And yet some of them are just so stupid that they don't need to be taking over the world or society because that's a topic I may be talking about either tonight or coming up, you know. Was it New Kids on the Block? That was going to be the topic. Because these kids these days, ooh, we Lord Jesus. Mm-mm-mm.
Yeah. But, quit that also
at me,
brings
Lorianne, because I know you are. Huh?
But see, that brings us back to the topic. Are you in the matrix regarding how you should discipline your own children? Or are the people who are telling you that you shouldn't discipline them this way, are they in the matrix? So which philosophy is the correct philosophy? So that's creating division, which is also part of the Communist Manifesto, dividing up the family. So it's not just them. I believe the communists are funded by and are the front people for the Rothschilds personally. I believe the Rothschilds run this planet because they have trillions of dollars at their disposal. Any country that has a central bank is being controlled by the Rothschilds. Otherwise, that central bank would not exist in that country, because anybody who's running the country... Okay, like us, we have the Federal Reserve. We would realize that our Federal Reserve is sucking billions of dollars out of the economy into their pockets, into the Federal Reserve's coffers every year without judicial review. No sane, honest politician would allow that.
Uh-huh.
And yet, we have it. Other countries have it. Therefore, having an institution like the central bank, which is diametrically opposed to the well-being of a country and is allowed to exist, means that those politicians of those countries have been bought and paid for.
Hmm.
And those that haven't been bought and paid for remain in ignorance about why their central bank exists, but they don't pursue it. So that's another part of the matrix. The matrix is the philosophy.
Go ahead. I'll wait. Sorry.
No. Go ahead.
And because you talk about Congress, what is the median age for those who are in Congress?
Probably about 55 or 60.
Okay, so they were in the age of Aquarius where we got spankings and stuff like that. See,
sure.
Those are the ones who need to bring, quote-unquote, salvation back to how to govern our kids, because, you know, then you wonder why these kids who are raising kids don't know how to handle anything because they don't have any guidance. You know, a lot of people are afraid of their kids because they don't know how to handle them because they've raised the monsters. Let me see. Lorianne says, look how long people and few politicians like Ron Paul and too few others have been pushing to at least audit the feds as a step towards ending the feds. See? You know, because it's crazy. Congress members, once elected, become pimps and for lobbyists, representing big corp, big defense, big agriculture, big energy, and everything else, everything big. But they don't represent the little people, see? And that's what needs to be represented, because the majority of the people who are, let's see, I don't want to say this. We have people with money who are running the U.S., but the little people are the ones who are the slaves of the U.S. and have to, you know, I don't know what I'm trying to say, but they're the ones who are reaping the evilness of what's going on.
All right. Exactly. But see, you are also, Lorianne is absolutely 100% correct, and you are in the matrix. I'll tell you why. Because even though you are about Congress, you said, well, they should be, you know, bring us back to salvation. That means you have a certain amount of faith in Congress, because that's their duty. Their duty is to protect the American people. I'm a libertarian. Lorianne's a libertarian. Which is going to be a different definition of how the government should protect us. We can talk about that, you know, maybe later on. But the thing we can talk about it, you know, tonight. But the thing is, the reason why I'm saying you're still in the matrix is, though, even though you have an idea of how, you would probably think that they're off kilter, Congress I'm talking about, that they're not all honest. But you do not understand, and neither does maybe 80% of the population of the United States. They don't understand the severity of the lack of morals that exists in governors, mayors, and in Congress. They're all bought off. I'll tell you how. I'll give you this illustration. Everybody likes to vote for a politician, right? And they know that the politicians, when they run for office, they're getting millions of dollars from PACs. Very few people really raise their eyebrows, okay? They just say, oh, okay, that's just the way it is, you know? So they're running for office, they need money. But when you really think about the true impact of that particular statement in reality, about they're taking millions, why would anybody take millions of dollars to run for office to gain an office that's going to pay them $150,000 a year?
Pennies upon what they had to spend to even get in office, right?
Yeah,
what you're saying?
They're spending millions. But you know, some of the millions they don't have to pay back, but there are millions that they borrow. Millions they borrow to get an office that pays them $150,000, either from the RNC or the CNC. Sometimes they borrow money from the different parties, the Republican Party, Democratic Party, or they borrow money from donors. Donors give them money. Donors lend them money. They get contributions, and they get loans. When they get the loans, they got to pay them back. When they get contributions, they got to pay back in favors. And here's the thing.
Okay, so do they pay them back is the question?
Of course they do.
Do they actually pay them back? I'm just asking.
Are you talking about the money, or are you talking about pay them back in favors or money?
However, they have to pay them back.
Yeah, they have to pay them back. Sometimes they pay off the debt. Sometimes they don't, but they still get reelected. So I believe that some of these politicians have a running debt, to the people that loaned them the money, but they're still doing favors for those people. Neither you nor I nor anybody else that comes on the line, most likely, has ever contributed more than either $0 or maybe $20 bucks to somebody's campaign because we like them.
Taboo.
But they're not going to. You think these people who get $20 donations, you think they're actually going to spend energy, put their staff on a problem?
Yeah.
No, they're not going to. I'm not talking about paying you back in money. I'm talking about paying you back in terms of making sure that your rights are preserved. If you give somebody $20 and then get elected, and then 6 months later you say, you know what, Congressman Jones, I have a problem in my neighborhood. Well, the guy that you elected is going to say, well, I'll have my staff look into it. And, you know, a few months down the road, you get a form letter saying, well, we looked into it and we passed it on to some agency, or we gave it to the cops, or you're right, this is a problem, and here's the advice we want you to do. But in the meantime, the problem's going on. Because the problem that's bothering you, which you paid the congressman $20 because you believed in him, lobbyists paid this guy a few $100,000 to let the problem persist.
Right.
So people don't, people can understand this, but they don't realize the full impact and the full severity of what it is that they're understanding, what they're seeing. That's part of the matrix.
Right.
The most inimical, I think it is.
That
the
word,
most insidious, that one. The most insidious part about the matrix is and from 1984 is the fact that our brains can harbor two diametrically opposed thoughts. In other words, two mutually exclusive thoughts that wipe each other out. In other words, the brain should not be able to believe in one and the other. It should be able to believe in either one or the other. But here's the problem.
Okay.
The brain can absorb and believe in two mutually unacceptable ideas and believe that both of them are true. That's what makes us morons. Not just the academic failures, but the fact we can say, okay, oh yeah, this philosophy exists. And I believe in both of them. But you can't believe in both of them. They're mutually exclusive. It's either one or the other. But you do it. And as a result of doing it, you believe in a certain mixed philosophy, you are caught in the matrix. For example, some people, women will get beat by their husbands' boyfriends, right? Well, women do too.
Okay.
Women get beat a hell of a lot. I mean, men get beat by women a hell of a lot more often than people will realize or even want to acknowledge. But let's just go with the standard stereotypical beating. Woman gets beat by the husband, okay? Now, she knows she hasn't done anything wrong. But she keeps going back to get beat by the husband. Or let's say the boyfriend. Now, the husband, sometimes the wife may be so afraid that if she leaves, he'll come after her and do real damage. I don't blame her for that.
Right.
But let's say a girlfriend. She has a car. She has a separate domicile, right? Now, the boyfriend who's abusive, who's been abusive for months, okay, left marks on her cheek, et cetera, he lives across town. She says he's a bad man, and I'm a good woman. He's the bastard. But yet, she'll go and get into her car to continue to go see the guy, knowing that she's going to get beat. Two mutually exclusive ideas, okay? He's a bastard. I'm a good woman. He shouldn't do that, but she's going to go and see him anyway. Moronic
because, major. And we talked about this before, because she feels that he's the only one who's going to love her, whether he beats her or not. that's how she feels. That's where her love, you know, stands and is. So, therefore, that she's going to keep on falling back into that same pit
Matrix.
And lay in the bed with that same person. Yeah, because she, not that she doesn't know any better, but where else, who else is going to love her? Where else is she going to get her love, right?
Mm-hmm. That's a nine. Yeah, that's a good concept. But the thing is, the woman is, let's say, is a 9 out of 10. She's beautiful. She knows it. And she can't get any guy, but she still goes for this guy. Now, she may feel nobody else will love me, but why does she feel that? When she knows, okay, now here's where the dichotomy is. She feels nobody else will love her. But at the same time, she knows that there'll be dozens of guys lined up to love her.
But, okay, stay right there. But if he tells her, ain't nobody going to love you like I love you. So don't go out there and try to be finding nobody else, blah, 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 blah. So she's so brainwashed that all she keeps on doing is going back to him because of what's filled up in her head as well. Correct me if I'm wrong.
No, you're right. That's the matrix. You said it. Brainwashed.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Brainwashed. Mm-hmm. So she believes this particular narrative of the guy. And but her, sometimes some women will say, no, nobody else will find me attractive. But there are women who know, but he's not my kind of guy. He's not my type. You know, and why not? He's a nice guy. He respects you. He'll treat you right.
Uh-huh.
I don't know. But, you know, I just know I'll never find another love like my abuser. Okay? Brainwash. Matrix.
Or, stop right there.
Okay.
Keep on that same thing. Or, how do I want to say this? Or she finds somebody, but she's afraid to get with them for the fact that she's afraid that the person who says he loves her is going to come after the guy and do some harm to him.
Well, that's a different story. See, that's a realistic fact. That's not brainwashing. That's protecting the guy.
But I'm just saying she may believe that, so she won't fall in love with someone else because of her, she's still being brainwashed saying, you know, what's being said. So she's still in the matrix still.
Yeah. Well, she's being brainwashed.
Correct.
If she's being brainwashed into believing the guy's going to come after the new boyfriend when he won't, then she's being brainwashed. But if she believes the guy will come after the new boyfriend and she is right, that's not the matrix. That's being realistic.
Right. Right.
But how many women do that? Yeah, but how many women actually do that and say, well, I don't want to hook up with another guy because my boyfriend is going to kill him. How many women do that?
A lot of people think like that.
Really?
I
like to know.
They are afraid.
I like to.
They're afraid they'll fall in love again because of, you know, if I can't have you, can't nobody have you. He's put that in her head so many times. So she's afraid to go out and fall in love and get another person because of being brainwashed and staying in the matrix. You can't get out because of all the what's been told to her. So
that's right.
That's
another
thing.
Brainwashing. But the thing is, she can get an injunction, or she can hire a private investigator and find out,
why?
You know, and get him and entrap him. But why?
Why?
Well, how?
I mean, I know why, but I'm just saying, why should she have to pay money? You know, because, you know, I wouldn't say I just leave because you can't just leave if you have a good job.
I don't know if you have to pay money, but if you go talk to a detective, I think some detectives will set up
restraining order.
Well, I'm talking. Yeah. Well, besides that too, and the reason why I'm saying talk to the detective because there are women to go along with your particular narrative about the woman who's that afraid. She will believe that an injunction or a restraining order will not be enough to keep the guy away from her or away from her future boyfriend. So that's why I'm saying maybe, and I'm saying maybe because I don't know for sure. She can talk to detectives, and maybe the detectives will set up a sting. The detective can act as her boyfriend, and when the guy comes after them.
Question you're asking is how many women have been violated, or what's the word I'm trying to say? not scared, but I guess scared or what have you.
How many women are afraid that if they leave their boyfriend, the boyfriend is still going to assault and violate their rights? And see, we were also talking about mainly about the girl being afraid of him, the abuser, going after the future boyfriend.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, how many women are afraid of that? That's what I'm saying. There are plenty of women, I don't know about plenty of women, but there are more women who are afraid that the stalker will continue to stalk them if they leave. But how many of them are so afraid that if they leave, the guy is going to go after the new boyfriend? I doubt if a lot of women are that altruistic and that thinking that far ahead.
You're not a woman. Joe, you are not a woman. I'm trying to find it. That's what I'm saying.
Okay.
But there are many women out there, even because I've seen, you know, different shows and stuff, you know, talking with women, talking about them being afraid because man.
Inez, what I'm saying is this. I know there are women who are afraid. Out of 100 women, okay, who are or have been in abusive relationships, how many of those women are afraid to leave, not because they're just afraid of him coming after her, but are afraid to leave because the guy will hurt the next boyfriend? I'm hearing crickets.
You're hearing crickets because I'm typing, because I'm trying to find the information for you.
All right. While you're typing, I'm going to see it. Let me see if I can find it, too.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Anybody out there, call on in and give us your statistics.
845-241-9985 if you're out there, and because we're trying to figure out, have you been abused? And trying to leave the man who was abusing you for another man, and that man who was abusing you would go after the man that you have fallen.
What
for
I'm gonna do?
Yeah. Have.
What I'm putting.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry. I'm putting in as keywords. I'm putting in how many former boy. My Wi-Fi is acting up again. What the hell?
Watch your mouth. You forget who you. Show you on.
Hell is wrong. You're clamping down on the word hell. Yeah. Okay. Okay. What the hell?
Let's see. If women don't like abusive men, why are there so many abusive men in relationships, whereas men who are kind?
How many abusers violate restraining orders? That's what I want to find out. And then I can leave from there. Okay, my Wi-Fi somehow got read. Now it's off again? Now it's back. Okay.
How many men violate?
How many men violate restraining orders? Boyfriends, men, whatever. I mean, yeah, keeps it nice and short and sweet.
Okay, let's see. How often are restraining orders violated and...
Okay, cool.
How often are restraining orders violated, and what are the consequences?
That sounds good. Yeah, I like that.
This is on the Quora.
Yeah. Okay.
This is on the Quora. You talking about
Quora usually wants money. Yeah. I'm saying that's those are good keywords.
No money for me. The consequences are they get arrested and charged with criminal contempt or whatever they call it. It is in jurisdiction. Contempt is a misdemeanor in most jurisdictions, but it can be a felony. That's not what I want to hear.
No, I'm putting in statistics now.
No, my ex-boyfriend violated the restraining order and is facing jail time. Family is asking that I lift it to go and doesn't go to jail. This is still in Quora.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about, Quora. Q-U-O-R-A is the website, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
I'm putting in statistics of violations of restraining orders.
Violated restraining orders?
Yeah.
So you got it? Answer?
Not yet. I'm a slow typist when it comes to these stupid Z boards.
Oh. Hold on. Statistics.
Restraining orders?
Related restraining orders.
Okay, restraining orders. Oh. Got
orders
it. Okay. Let us see what comes up.
Okay. 33% reported at least one violation over the 18 months of the study. Violations were reported by 17 women, 20% at 3 months, 16 women, 20% at 6 months, 20 women, 25% at 12 months, and 19 women, 20% at 18 months. Protective orders in intimate partner violence and 18 months.
Oh, I know what site you're on. NCBI, right?
Yeah, that's what came up.
Yeah.
That's too much.
Okay.
National Library of Medicine.
As a library, NLM provides access to scientific literature. Let's see what it has here. Protection orders and intimate partner violence. Objective, blah, 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 blah. Methods, okay. Blah,
so you're trying
blah,
to find numbers,
blah.
Right?
Yeah. This one, if I continue scrolling. See, this site right now is describing the methods of how it's come up with its statistics as opposed to just giving the statistics right away, okay? See, I'm the kind of person, give me the stats right away and then extrapolate from that and then elaborate after.
That's too much. You're too intelligent for me for that. I'm sorry. You can't handle, you know. Mm-mm.
No, this particular site. No, I get down to the nitty gritty.
I don't like
See?
It, and I don't like grit.
You don't like grit. Oh, jeez.
Don't like knit and don't like grit. See,
don't like knit or grit.
These demographic currents.
Okay. Violence. Oh, my God. I keep on scrolling. They're just talking about, no, this they're giving a scientific analysis, which is.
Is that the NCBI?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Because I said data analysis means standard deviation. No, that's not the one I
Yeah, all
to
of that
at.
Crap. It's good. See, I'm an amateur statistician, so I like it. But when it's in, you know, white papers in such a way that it's dry, I mean, I get bored with that crap. You know, give me the lowdown, and then tell me how you got it. Here they're talking about the methodologies
okay, so
first,
the women,
and then
the women were stratified into two groups: those who were granted a 2-year protection order. N equals 81, and those who were not granted such an order, N equals 69. Reasons for non-receipt of the protection order, while the woman dropped the order, N equals 40. Inability to locate the abuser and serve papers in court, N equals 18. And the dismissal of cases, N equals 11. So, reasons for not being granted a 2-year protection order. But we want to know how many women, right? We want to know the number.
Yeah.
Okay, so... So go down to table one. There's a table one. Age, Y means SD. So protection order, 30.5, number 31.2, total 150.
31.2? Okay, I'll find that on the page. Let me see if I can find that on the page. It's we're on the same site.
33.5.
33.5?
Race, ethnicity. African American, 31. Total number, 49. Relationship status, boyfriend.
5.
Okay, it is down. Type in table 1 and see what you get, if you can, under that.
Okay. It's first.
And we go from there.
Table 1. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Find it?
Table 1. Not yet. Table 1. T-A.
Okay.
So you're at a typewriter. I'm at my
on your
cell
phone.
Yeah.
Oh, customer.
I got.
No. That's why.
Hello,
customer.
Table one.
No.
I got okay. Demographic characteristics and results.
Mm-hmm.
From the X2 test.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. Got it.
That's what you want.
Yeah, but see. Yeah. Well. Yeah, but not for the show because it'll bore everybody to tears on the show.
No,
All
no, no,
no. Very...
But you, that's the information you were looking for type of thing, right?
coming on results, not the difference between women who were granted and not necessarily the way that they're wording it.
Okay.
No, it's not that clear to me. That's what I want to know is, out of 100 restraining orders, what percentage of men violated them? Because that will give us a basis to determine if they, if 30% of the men violated restraining orders, then of those 30 men that violated the restraining orders, how many of them went after the new boyfriend? That's what we're after. Okay, that is a little bit too much in depth for this particular discussion right now.
Right.
So I'll go back to it on my own another time. Okay, evaluating the effectiveness of protective orders in America, that might do it in a less of an academic way. Let's see what it says. But see, all of this is what we're talking about. It's all matrix because we're all absorbing information from different corners of the globe, so to speak. So which is fact, which is not fact? What is a lie versus an untruth? Not all untruths are lies. Okay, protective order has long been utilized, court system, okay. Oops.
This is interesting, though.
It is interesting. A violation in many instances reported by from 7.1%
of
the low end.
Let's talk about
yeah.
it, real talk. Truth to be told. We're trying to find out the truth about how many men violate the restraining orders, what's the particulars and the numbers. So if somebody out there knows, call us at 845-241-9985. 845-241-9985. This is in Florida. Though protective orders are taken very seriously by Florida courts, those who violate the terms of the injunction placed on them may face severe criminal repercussions. Courts are often unsympathetic to protective order violations. No criminal charge is taken lightly, but the consequences may even be more severe if an injunction order is placed. These situations often require an experienced defense attorney who understands the law and can protect your rights. So that being said, what I'm under is what happens if someone violates a protective order, and this is in, they're talking about in Florida. Well, I don't know why. Yeah, because I didn't type
Here's
it
what,
in. I just wanted to know.
Here's what this site says. This site says it a little bit more conclusively, even though it's still inconclusive, which now creates a paradox. All right. How effective are protection orders at preventing further violence harassment? It is a difficult question to answer that depends on what is considered effective. Although most survivors feel safer once an order is in place, this doesn't guarantee they will not experience abuse after the order is issued. Based on the data we have, it is fair to conclude that protective orders are at least somewhat effective at preventing escalating violence. But with millions of Americans suffering from domestic abuse every year, not all situations are the same. And in some cases, protective orders may not be effective. So it's like half of one, sixth of another. Half dozen of one, So I'm not seeing any numbers. In any case,
any numbers?
The point...
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I'm not seeing any numbers. So this is more of a conversational type of site than it is an academic site.
Right.
The thing
yeah.
is, though, is that the matrix exists. When you have philosophies that are yours, which you believe are yours anyway, but which are caused by outside factors, that's the matrix. And if you believe these philosophies, which are untrue, either because the philosophies were given to us through nefarious means for nefarious purposes, or they could have been misinterpreted by us. We are all in the matrix. Simple as that. When we have a difference of opinion, and that difference of opinion is as a result of absorbing philosophies that we're not fully sure of, but we conclude that these philosophies are the philosophy, You're in the Matrix. Simple. Very simple.
Okay.
And the Matrix.
So how do we...
What was that?
I apologize.
Was that Clay?
That was me.
No, that's Michael.
Go ahead, Clay. No, that's Clay.
I'm a silent listener tonight for several reasons.
Oh, somebody else? Oh, okay.
Yes, hello. You had the question of how many persons were, how many protective orders were violated by men, or what specifically was that question? Because it's saying 68%, but it's not specifically giving the answer.
Men
if
or women?
68% by men or women. It's just saying 68%.
Yeah. What you're saying also, 68% were violated, but what's the definition of a violation? Sometimes you can go over to a person's house and knock on the door. That's a violation. No intent to do anything, but just to make up. You can call somebody. That's a violation. You can text somebody. That's a violation. What we're talking about are the very severe violations of women who are trying to escape their boyfriends, right, or husbands, but are afraid specifically to get into another relationship because they fear the abuser so much that they will not join, become an intimate partner with somebody else because they're afraid the abuser might do harm to the new boyfriend. And I'm saying that percentage of women who are going to care about the new boyfriend is going to be extremely low, as opposed to women who are saying, I don't want to get away because I'm afraid that he's going to hurt me. In other words, altruism versus self-preservation. That's the point that we were, why we were doing this particular search.
Laura Ann sent us something. Let's see. She says, protection orders and violence. The reported rates of protection order violations vary widely across studies, from as low as 7.1% to as high as 81.3%. So that's what the information you're talking about, Bill?
Yeah. Yeah, I read that on on a site, too.
Okay.
Yeah, so I mean...
Yeah, but
go ahead.
I think what's happening is the protection orders are not really taken seriously due to they've been violated so many times. As far as the protective orders are going, I have several stories regarding that. I have persons that I worked with and counseled on both ends. The violation of the protection order is usually done by the woman allowing that person to come back into their lives for whatever reason. Therefore, when you call the police, they've already had a history of this happening as well. The person calls the police, and then when the police get there, which would be a waste of time, they say, no, I don't want to press charges or something like that, when in essence, the person who has the restraining order against them should not be there in the first place. The ones that are serious about the protection orders are taken for granted because of that very same reason. The person who places or orders the protection order should not violate that order themselves. Because sometimes what happens is you have scandalous people out there and they will call the person over. And again, it's taken for granted. It's like the boy who cried wolf. So a lot of times the police don't take it seriously. I myself personally have experienced a stalker, and I called the police. I went to the state attorney several times. Ultimately, the state attorney told me what to do. They said, well, make sure that when the person comes to your house, you tell them as loud as you can that you've called the police. Well, when I did that on several occasions, this person said to me, I don't care. I'll wait for them.
Uh-huh.
Because when you call the police, he knew that they could only escort him off the premises.
Uh-huh.
So how many times did I have to go through that before they really do anything? So I chose actually to leave the state and let that person cool down a little bit, because I saw us becoming statistics, and it wasn't going to go the way they thought, because I had already went and I trained with the City of Miami Police Department, obtained a weapon, because I at that time realized that I had to protect myself,
mm-hmm.
because at that time they were really taking people for granted. They thought that all the calls were the same, and mine really was a cry for help. And that person really did exactly what he said. He would sit and wait on the hood of his car or the trunk of his car on the side of his car, waiting for the police officers to escort him off the premises. So those statistics are really going to vary, because it's taken for granted, really. It's really like a joke at this point because of the way things have gone, you know. I had a person that I was counseling get killed by her husband, and she was taking it seriously until she saw that the police were not going to protect her, because it was the same situation as mine.
Happens. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Right, it was the same situation as mine until when she saw that the police were not going to really be able to protect her. She did the let me play nice, you know, role, and ultimately she got killed behind that. And she saw that, okay, if the police can protect me, let me see if I could play nice with them, you know, and see if, you know, he could, that would soften the blow of him wanting to come and be in my life and stuff like that. Of course, they were married, had kids, and it was just a lot, but ultimately she lost her life because of it. Mm-hmm.
And see, that's what happens. Yeah. And you watch this on television, they say, you know, oh, we can't do anything until... Okay, until what? It's too late? We're trying to get protection, and, well, we don't know if he's... Okay, I'm calling you because... And some people do play and cry wolf, but those who are really claiming that something is going to happen, they don't believe them, and then next thing you know, they're a statistic. It's like, why? Why, you know, so you might as well just get you a weapon or some sort of protection to keep yourself safe, because that is basically the only way you're going to stay safe, because the police don't and won't do anything until, you know, something happens. So I have to have a black eye, a fat lip, a broken arm, my kidneys, my leg broken or whatever, before you say, take me serious. See that, you know, and
she had all of
breathe,
that.
I never breathe.
Yeah, she had all of that occur to her. She was in the hospital several times, but again, it's like a catch-22. You
it
don't know
matter.
What really to do. And at the same time, a lot of times the statistics don't work out as well, because while you are trying to protect yourself, some people don't know the law on the other hand. On the other hand, you'll wind up going to jail for trying to protect yourself because you didn't know how to do it or what the laws were. Even though you have it on record that this person has been harassing you, they still find a way to condemn the victim.
Of course.
So,
oh, you brought it on yourself. You allowed this to happen. I didn't allow this to happen. I'm calling
you,
you
should have changed the
for
right
protection.
One. You should have changed the right one. That's what they say, too.
Hold on. That happens. But I also know that, there, for example, in my own family, there was a woman who was married. She instituted this, and this is going back in the 50s, okay?
Mm-hmm.
She instituted, she called the cops several times on her husband. There were a few times they took her seriously. She got him out of the house. No damage to her. Okay? So I know that these things work. How often they work, it also depends upon the circumstances. If the woman is willing to take him back, then that's part of the circumstances you have to take into consideration as to whether or not she is actually serious. Just because she's a victim, if she takes him back, let me tell you something. My philosophy is, and if a woman consistently now, not the wife, because the wife, you have to live with the husband. The husband is going to create imminent fear. That's understandable. But if you're a girlfriend and you consistently are being in a relationship with a guy that abuses you, you are not a victim. You're a partner. You can call the
cops. An enabler?
You are an enabler. You can consult with an attorney for free. You can talk to detectives. You can talk. You can reach out on social media to other people who have done it successfully. So a victim who is a true victim deserves sympathy. But a person who is enabled, who is a codependent, you can feel sympathy for them as well. But don't say they're a victim.
But
they're a partner. Okay?
Well, that's what I'm saying.
They're in it for the long haul.
Right. That's what I'm saying. You have some people out there, and this is how it began. You have some people out there that were allowing them to come back, which is why it's so bad now. They cried wolf too many times, and now the police are actually stuck between what's real and what's not real. And as far as your family member, look how long it took for them to take her serious. If at any point of those three times that someone was going to get killed because they weren't taken serious those first two or three times, it should have been taken seriously the first time after reviewing all of the information. And that's what's happening. We're waiting so many times before the police can take us serious only because in the past...
Let me interrupt for a second. Let me clarify what happened with my family member. She called the cops, but it wasn't because he was physically abusing her. She called the cops because of verbal arguments, which nowadays is considered verbal abuse. So I should have clarified that. As a result of the consistency in verbal abuse, which is what it's called now, but because of verbal arguments... she managed to get him out of the house because of the laws in her particular district.
No abuse for me, to her. It took a little. Yeah, for me, there was no abuse.
No physical abuse.
However, for me, there was no abuse. I was not going to even let it get to that point. However, when I had determined that I did not want this person in my life anymore and no was not being accepted, you're following me to my job. You're following me everywhere I go. You're popping up at my house. You're leaving newspaper donuts, rules, all of that on my doorstep. And then you're popping up in places where it's okay. If I'm talking to coworkers or what have you, you're popping up and saying, well, in this instance, exactly happened like this. I was saying farewell to one of the co-workers that was leaving to go to another state, transferring to one of our other facilities in another state. And I gave him a hug, not knowing that my ex was lurking around. And he walked up on us saying, oh, you could give and he used to end with it. He'd say, you could give this in a hug, but you can't give me any more hugs. You don't want to be with me. It's like that. And I'm like, how embarrassing, because that was just a coworker. And then I didn't, you're not even supposed to be around here because I already ended it with you and I meant it. How many times do I have to say it? I went to the state attorney four times, but I had already had restraining orders due to the harassment.
That's what I wanted to get to.
Right.
Go ahead,
though.
I'll wait till you're finished.
Right. There was no physical abuse going on, but it took me just that much longer because of the fact that I didn't have bruised ribs. I didn't have a bloody face. I didn't have the physical abuse there. But I'm trying not to let it get there as well. So why do I have to let it get to a point of him being physical with me when I've already said?
Let me answer that. Mm-hmm. This is a speculation on my part. I would presume that the cops probably told you they can't go arresting everybody that has a charge of harassment against them. Because, don't forget, even today, but not so much today as it was in the 60s and 70s and 80s, women mm-hmm. expected men to be ardent pursuers, which now the term has turned into stalking. If a man did not pursue the woman, he was considered, well, I see you give up too easily, or you're not a man. So women encouraged that behavior on men, especially if there was a breakup. He was expected to go to her and try to reconcile. Now, after a few times, not all like that, but if after a few times, even if the girl's playing games, because a lot of times when girls said, and I know nowadays they say when a girl says no, they mean no. No, that's BS.
Yeah.
But back then in the 60s and 70s, it especially meant if a girl said no, it didn't really mean no. That was the game mm-hmm. that women and men knew they were playing. Okay?
Mm.
Nowadays, I would advise men, even if a girl's playing a game, okay, if she says no, get the hell away from there. Because she can very easily turn into somebody who wants you to pursue her, into somebody who just loves the drama and wants you locked up just because.
Definitely. Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, I would advise that. Even if the women are playing what would have been considered innocent games many years ago, they're not so innocent nowadays. So injunctions and protection orders should be taken seriously by the guy. And he should just say, okay, look, if she's going to be like this, and if we can't reconcile, maybe once or twice, try to get together. But if she's insisting on it, even if she's giving off mixed signals, dump her. Go. Do not end
That's
up
right.
in jail, you know, or have
That's
a
right.
black mark against you. But it's a shame it has to come to this because love and romance, it's rocky at times. It's not smooth, but
all the time.
You know, women have to protect themselves against abusive men, and men have to protect themselves against women who love drama too much.
Absolutely.
So I'm sorry, but I wanted to interrupt and let that be said.
Well, no, that's exactly what I'm saying as well. I stated that from the beginning, but in that sense, that's why I've never played with it, because I came from, like you said, that in the 60s and 70s, women thought that as he loved me. Well, I've never played those games, nor will I, because I just feel like communication is the key to everything. I, another story. my grandmother's friend, one of her friends, they were also neighbors. The lady that lived behind her husband, we had a party. We used to have parties back then all the time. Like, my grandparents used to have parties all the time. Okay. I just thought it was like a birthday of every weekend or whatever. But, one of her husbands out of a tree on top of her. Now, I've known them to be very abusive. I actually was afraid, you know, as a young child, whenever we were around her, particularly because her husband was so abusive. And I think I have these conversations with my mom today. I said, you all had us in such abusive situations, and you never wondered or thought how it would affect us, and it did affect me. But her husband jumped out of the tree on top of her, and I used to see her with Cass all the time, and I'm like, why aren't you calling the police? And it's exactly like how you just explained it, sir. it's exactly like that. And I'm like, who would want that? Who saw that as love when you're getting hurt so much?
Absolutely. Good evening, everybody.
Good evening.
Hey, Dustin, how are you?
I am well.
I just wanted to say,
there's always been, and it's been my view. My daddy taught me, and the uncles in my family taught me, and this is why it's important for men, good men, to be in females' lives. It doesn't matter if they belong to you or not. It's important.
Mm-hmm.
Never. I wish I have right now. I have two biological boys. I'm married, and my wife has two boys. And then on top of that, I have my nephew and two more boys. And then I have their friends. I wish one of them would come to me and tell me that it was okay for them to put their hands on a woman. This is the importance of me being in their lives, period. Period, point blank, period. And this is we all know the women that I'm speaking of. I don't need a man in my life. You are a lie. You have to have a man in your life. And it's not because you're not capable of being and understanding and doing your job and taking care of your children or any of those things. That's not the reason why you need a man in your life. There's not a woman on this radio right now. I only know of three women on period that could challenge me physically. Physically. I'm a man. I'm strong.
I'm one of them.
And
I'm just messing with
you. I would, baby girl, you have to meet me before you say that. Because compliments
you
the United States Navy.
That's
compliments
what you told me.
Hey, compliments the United States Navy and a few almost 50 years being on these streets. I promise you, that's not going to go the way you think it's going to go. It's just not. But at the end of the day, the truth and reality is, I don't care what y'all do to me. I will never put my hands on you.
Right.
Well, let me ask you a question, Dustin. Since you're protective of the women in your family, which is good, what if you had a nephew who had an abusive wife?
I had an abusive
wife.
No. I had an abusive wife. That's what made me chime in. Like, no, you don't. I was married.
Well, I'm asking you
to
a
narcissistic.
If you had a nephew,
go ahead, sir.
That had.
Mm-hmm.
If you had a nephew that was being
mm-hmm.
abused by his wife. Would you go
mm-hmm.
to his aid, or would you think you've got to take care of it yourself, nephew?
No, I'm coming. Absolutely not. That's why I have seven sisters. And we all agree with the same thing. I cannot argue with a woman. I physically could never, because of the way I was raised, I could never put my hands on a woman. Could I whoop a woman's tail? Absolutely.
So you wouldn't put your hands on a woman that's abusing your nephew?
Absolutely not. That's why I have
sisters. Under no circumstances. Okay, so I got
your
answer.
No circumstances. No, not what?
Okay.
No. And I'm telling you from somebody whose significant other has hit them with a car, thrown glass dishes at them, has kicked them in the goodies. I mean, everything you have, and never have I ever, and never will I allow anything. I don't care what happens in life. I love you to death, sir, but if I knew that you was putting your hands on your lady, I promise you I'd be there and I'd be a part of your relationship. Because I want you
well,
to get something and hit
you
back.
Well, you can be there, and I can promise you, you wouldn't be there for too long interfering in my business if some chick is trying to abuse me and you're trying to be the white knight.
No, sir. No, sir. Difference. From man to man, hey, bro, you need to get the hell away from that situation. Come on. And I'm going to do everything in my power.
You're making it very, very simplistic that all of a sudden that the woman is the victim. But the man can just walk away, and he's never ever a victim. If a man has the same mindset, if a man has the same mindset that the woman is virtuous, is my wife, and I've done something wrong, there are men. Do you know that 32 to 40% of domestic physical violence in households are done by women? Physical violence.
Absolutely.
Okay?
Absolutely. I agree with you 100%.
When those women
do
that.
At the end of the day, you asked me, the question you asked me, what would I do if
you
let's
said
just
you
talk
would
about
do
me
nothing.
And you.
Right.
No, and I did not say I would do nothing. I would not physically do anything to a woman. That is not what I said. What I said was I will not do anything physically to a woman, but what I will do, is, let's just say it's me, you, or me and my nephew. I would tell him, hey, come on. Come with me. Let's go.
Okay.
Oh, no.
Right.
This one is.
Okay.
Let's go.
And you're also, if in my situation, or if I was the person who had been conditioned to accept that the woman who was beating on me is doing so mm-hmm. because I'm such a gentleman and I should never hit her while she's beating
right.
the hell out of me.
Absolutely.
If I now retaliate, and if you're around, then you're going to be on her side to make sure that I don't protect myself because
no.
That's not what I'm saying.
Okay, I'm in the park.
No.
I'm in the park with my wife.
Okay, one person at a time.
I'm in the park with my wife. The wife is beating on me. You're there. Okay, you see the wife beating on me. What are you going to do?
First, I'm going to do a step in between y'all.
Right.
She can't hurt me. She can't.
She can't. So if she pulls
I don't
out
care
a knife
what she
or she
like,
grabs
she
a beer bottle and she
it doesn't matter. No, I'm
she
I can
can't
defend
hurt
myself
you.
From that. I can defend myself from that. She can't she
okay.
can't come at me.
I got news for you.
I'm gonna stand between me and you.
Mm-hmm.
You and her. I'm gonna stand between you and her and I'm
gonna
like,
defuse the situation.
You need to stop that. I'm going to defuse the situation.
Okay, you're going to try
now,
to.
If the situation, you are absolutely correct. But until the cops get there, if the situation cannot be defused, then me, I'm going to grab you. I'm going to put you in my car, and we're going to drive off.
Mm-hmm.
Period.
Oh, okay.
I know how to get away from situations.
Mm-hmm. So that's there. That's out there in the open. And while you're doing that, I still have to go back and visit this.
No, you don't.
This wife.
No, you don't. You just got to go back and get your stuff. That's all you got
to
do.
So in other words,
you
advocate
stuff.
For the man to run away and to take the long way around. Okay.
Absolutely.
That's your philosophy.
Absolutely.
That's fine.
Period.
And there are people who follow your philosophy.
He's trying to keep you out of harm's way. He's trying
right.
to keep
he's
you
basically
out of
saying,
I'm gonna
so you can
you.
So you can't say that she hurt you and then you retaliated and hurt her, because somebody's
right.
going to get hurt
right.
one way or the other. So that's
right.
basically defusing the
right.
situation.
Right. He's saying no man has the right,
because 0 + 0 = 0. If you don't have nobody to fight,
period.
Then she's going to stand there
period.
And look stupid.
Then that's
period.
Your philosophy.
Period.
As far as I'm concerned.
Now, sir. If let's
yeah.
just say same situation. You getting punched and beat up. I stand in your way, and I break y'all up, and you're like, "Nah, bro, go over there, baby girl, go over there," and you run over and hit her. Now it changes. That's where I pick you up.
He's coming after you.
Now, that's where I pick you up.
Right.
And I drag your ass back over to my car.
You
I throw you in the passenger seat and tell you to sit down.
Okay. That's where your philosophy comes in, because you're a firm believer. Never hit a woman. Woman, you can never justify hitting a woman. Whereas there are people who have died.
You can't.
There are plenty of reasons. You don't put your hands on anybody, and just because she's a woman
doesn't matter.
That's
sir.
Up to
listen,
you.
Listen,
that's your philosophy.
No. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. God made us strong for a reason. Period. Let's just take it to the level.
And
there's
right,
nothing.
And God made
physically.
Guns, knives, and beer bottles to be picked up by women for the same reason.
At the same breath, God gave us the ability to understand that there are situations we need to walk away from. Thanks, son.
If you can.
Period.
And if you can't,
you can.
Then the man, well, that's your philosophy. I disagree with you. You believe that every man can walk away from every situation.
That's the way God designed us. Period.
That is your philosophy, Dustin. You want to stick to it? No problem. But don't tell me your philosophy has to apply to every man because you believe it.
Hey, sir, if that's the way you believe, I agree with you. No, I don't agree with you.
I know you don't.
Because I will never allow a man, I don't care who they are, I will never allow a man in my presence to hit a woman.
You can be the gentleman all you want, but there are
people
who have died.
I don't care if I break that same fight up 55 times. It will never matter. If the woman chooses to go back to that abusive man, that's between her and him. But I will never allow in my presence a man
to
hit a woman.
But the thing is, if you believe that, that's fine.
Joe,
but,
Joe
he's
was retaliatory.
Yeah.
See?
Huh?
Joe is retaliatory. Joe is retaliatory. Oh. He's going to retaliate.
Okay.
Right, Joe?
I think it should
you're not going to put your hands on me simply because you're 2 inches shorter than me. Doesn't mean that you don't have a weapon in your handbag. You can't pick up a weapon that's lying on the ground. I am not exposing myself to that type of abuse simply because there's a philosophy that says you can never hit a woman. Now, if other men want to adhere to that philosophy,
if you pull a gun on me, however you may get injured at me removing that gun from your presence, that's between you and that gun. That has nothing to do with me. Because I promise
because of who I am and my role in this life.
Period.
Dustin,
you
can promise anything you want, but if a woman pulls a gun or a knife on you, I've had them both.
That's the only
by
reason
why women who probably okay, and you were successful. If you want to wait until the time when a woman is just because she's weaker than you and shorter than you. But you think that you can conquer every woman has a weapon in her hand. That is your philosophy.
Well, then I'm going to go until God decides to call me home. Because outside of that, absolutely.
Well, fine. You believe it. Go ahead. But the facts are there are cops that have been injured in domestic violence cases by women who have had weapons.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And
the,
you
the
think it can't
one,
happen to you? That is your philosophy. I think you're believing.
I don't think that it can. I know that it can. I've witnessed
it.
One of the best scars I have is where there's a knife that entered my arm and it came out the other side. And you know what it was from? It was a husband and a wife that were arguing in McDonald's. And I say, whoa, not here. No, this ain't the time or place for all that. Y'all do that shit at home. And I separated the two. The husband started saying that, bitch, I'll whoop your ass. Excuse my language. And I said, no, bro, not today. And I started pushing the door. I turned around, and his wife came with a little, what's the name of them, switchblade. And she stabbed down because she was trying to stab him. But she stabbed me. It went in my arm and came out the other side. I spun around and I looked at her and I said, you just stabbed me. And she looked and she said, I was trying to hit him. And I said, take your ass outside. And she turned around and went outside. And I turned and looked at him and I pulled the knife out. That was not a smart move on my part. But I pulled the knife out and I said, I'm going to keep this. At the end of the day.
Well, a reminder.
Mm-hmm.
At the end of the day, do I think that it's possible that I could get killed interrupting those? Absolutely. Absolutely. But the overall ending of that is I will always intervene. I will always tell the man, nope, you don't have the right to hit your woman. I will tell the woman, you don't have the right to hit your man. Period. Period, point blank, period. I will not allow a man to strike a woman. I will not allow a woman to strike a man. But if I had to put one before the other, you absolutely right. The woman's going to win that every time. Because, you will not hit a woman in front of me. It's not going to happen. Now, do I think that there are women, there are situations where a woman needs to understand that if you pick a fight with a bell, it's not going to go the way you think? Absolutely. Because there's women out there that think they're tougher, stronger, and can have control because of it. Like I said, I have 7 sisters.
And you can defend them all you want.
Four
and you can have that philosophy all you want. But the thing is, if a man is being protective of himself, from his wife or a girlfriend, and you interfere,
he has the ability to walk away.
As everybody has the ability, just like everybody has a choice. That doesn't mean they have free will or they have the emotional capacity.
They have the ability to walk away.
The thing is, a man does not have to walk away. He doesn't have to. He has the right to protect himself.
He's got the right to, yes, he has the right to stop a punch. He has the right to do all
he has the right to protect himself the same way as if a man is attacking him. You're wrong. You want to be the gentleman?
No.
That's fine. Your philosophy.
No. I think you're looking at it from the wrong point of view. If a man has an opportunity to walk away versus turn around and punch the shit out of somebody who just kicked him in the balls, he should always choose to walk away. Period.
Okay. That's your philosophy.
If
he's
getting
stick with it? No
punched
problem.
And beat and all of those things, if he's all those things, a man always has a choice to get away.
Again, you have that philosophy. You can practice it. For you to interfere.
So you telling me if you getting punched on your back and you hunched over and you getting punched in the head and the back, you gonna tell me you're gonna turn around and punch
by
her?
A woman, I am knocking the chick out. And if you interfere, I'm knocking you out. Do not interfere.
That's not gonna work. That's not gonna work for you.
Well, you think not. Okay. That's fine.
I have faith.
You can think you're invincible. The thing is, when you're interfering with that kind of situation, I know.
Okay,
but don't say you're
going
to interfere with it. Okay, all right. So getting back to the Matrix, which we've just now explored in this particular fashion. Okay.
Okay. Before we do.
Yeah.
Okay. They hung up. Never mind.
Oh, okay.
Go ahead.
The thing is, anybody can have their particular philosophy, but when you get hurt as a result of that philosophy, and you still continue with that philosophy, that is an example of the Matrix.
Let me ask
everybody
you a question.
Has. Go ahead.
The question is, same scenario, but it's your daughter.
Yeah.
Same scenario.
What about it?
Your daughter is the abusive person in the relationship.
Right.
And she is beating her boyfriend to pieces. And he turns around and knocks her butt out.
Yeah.
You're okay with that?
Absolutely. She has to be responsible for her actions. She is an adult.
And this is where we're just going to agree to disagree.
That
where we are going to leave that right there.
You can say you can interfere. That's your philosophy. But you can't say to somebody else, you don't have the right to do that. Because a man does have the right to do that.
No, he does not. Ever.
Okay.
Ever. Never.
That's
ever.
Fine.
Never does he have the right to put his hands on a woman. Ever.
So if you have a son, I don't know if you do, and that
I do.
Son,
I have several.
And that son is being stabbed by his wife, and you come across that in his house.
No,
you're not going to put your hands
on
that woman.
No. You are trying to put two parts together that does not count. No,
of course it
there's
does.
There's a difference between a woman trying to murder you and a woman beating on you. There's a big difference.
So
a
if
big
the woman
difference.
Has, yeah, but
if
also,
a woman
we also
pulls
mentioned
out a
weapons.
Weapon to try to kill
yeah.
you, then absolutely yeah. you defend yourself hand over foot. But if she is just punching you and slapping you, absolutely not. You walk the hell away. That's what you do.
Oh.
But if she pulls out a weapon of any sort.
Well, that's
what
I've been talking about the last 15 minutes, and you kept on saying no. What was I talking about?
That it was okay for you to say it's all right to punch a woman.
No. I mentioned those situations where the woman.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear that part.
Remember when I said she can pick up? Oh, okay. I said she can pick up a bare bottle. All right.
But if you pick up a weapon towards me, then that's a different story altogether because you're trying to take.
Oh, all right. So you clarified that.
If you're just trying to physically. If you're just punching and kicking and doing all those things, that's a different story. But if
you
pick up a weapon.
You wouldn't grab his wife and grab and take her off of him?
If she was punching and doing all that, my son knows better than just to get out the house and go away. He can get out and go away. That's the truth.
Okay. I've had this
but
discussion
if she
before.
Picks up a weapon, if she picks up a weapon, it is not going the way she thinks it's going to go.
And if the and if the girl is blocking the door, what should he do?
I'm sorry.
What do you mean?
There's no woman unless she's. That is mine. I will make yours in a second, but that is mine. I do not want. No, I'm good. Let me finish mine, and we are all right. I love you, wife. Hold on. Back up. You all in my coffee. I got your plate.
So the woman is blocking the door. Go ahead.
If the woman is blocking the door, I'm sorry. She can't block my door.
And?
I'm sorry. I'm just sorry. I just had a pot spill.
Oh, okay. So
into
okay.
something that I just spent fucking 3 hours, or excuse me, less than 3 hours trying to make, and it just screwed it all up.
So this conversation got to you, huh, Dustin?
No, it didn't. I just picked up a pot, and I expected it to do one thing, and it just dumped.
Oh, okay.
Completely. It just, I just spent like an hour and a half.
You can't multitask.
You don't tell me what I can do. I got children. I can do whatever I want. I need a strainer.
All right.
Someone please find me a strainer so I don't waste all of this, please. That just hurt my soul.
It will be all right.
Y'all can understand. I just smoked zucchini. I just smoked zucchini and garlic and onion and squash in a pot on the stove. I just smoked it. And I was picking up the fry pot off so I could move it over. And all the fry grease just dropped in my smoke. And it just hurt my soul.
All right. You have fried smoked zucchini.
Well, you could actually turn out to be good.
It might be. We're gonna find out together. We're gonna learn today. Oh my God.
We're gonna learn today.
Mm-hmm.
You need to get your Traeger.
Your new recipe in your household.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, it's brand new.
Y'all have no idea how I just really want this to still taste. Because the smoke, it did just perfect.
It's
so in any case, while you're thinking about that, we were talking about The Matrix. Other than this, because you're going to get back to it soon, hopefully. But other than this,
I will.
What other cases of the Matrix of indoctrination of brainwashing can you list?
Now we taste it to see if it tastes right.
No, there's so many, and I need a little bit more. What's the word I'm looking for?
You want to finish with your cooking and then come back?
No. What I'm asking is that men to women or just
society
men
at large.
To women or women to men?
No, society at large.
Okay. So, absolutely.
So, you're asking about statistics of relationships, or what are you asking statistics of?
No, that's what you and I were going after. While Dustin is fixing his new recipe, I'm asking him what other cases of the matrix can he state that happens in society?
Women, men, or let me just say it this way first, men being overbearing, like women are not smart enough to handle household life. Like they got to be told everything, period. Like you don't get to make a decision on how household is run or anything of that nature. Your job is just to do what I tell you to do and go from there. I know women like that, and I know men like that.
So,
where
okay,
they don't
so
get
question,
them.
Are you talking, hold on. Are we talking like men to men and women, men and men, or
it could go
domestic
all
partners,
of the above.
Because these days, you know, huh? Okay.
Yeah, you got to ask.
I'm just
those,
asking.
But, the ones I was referring to, were just heterosexual relationships. But
male
I do know
female.
I know men on men, and I know women on women.
Mm-hmm.
That have had the same issue. You know, we all have those people that have tried to be a part of our lives that could tell us how we're supposed to run our lives, like their lives were perfect. Yeah, no, that's not how it works.
Not today.
Oh. Not today.
So you're saying, okay, so the question you're asking is, how does Joe feel, or just how does we the people feel?
Well, it's not even how Joe feels. It's really just at the end of the day,
mm-hmm.
what's right and what's wrong.
Society.
What's right and what's wrong. Really.
Mm-hmm.
What really mm-hmm. counts. Because
and it's
I get where Joe's coming from. He's absolutely correct. If
mm-hmm.
you come at me with a knife or a gun or something like that, I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm.
I'm gonna leave alive. That's gonna happen, and by whatever means it is. But if there's an opportunity where you come at me, and if
mm-hmm.
I can truly get away from the situation, the love that I have for you is going to keep you alive. If I have to choose between me, my life, and somebody else's life,
you're choosing your life.
My children and my wife.
Well,
my children
the
and
thing
my,
is, what I was asking, if you want to continue.
And you.
If you want to continue on with that particular vein of thought, cool. But what I was asking was, see, before you got here, we were talking about other influences as well. Hollywood, the government, our parents, our upbringing, our family other than the nuclear family.
I can't go on parents at all.
Justin?
I cannot go on parents at all.
Why is that?
I didn't have a father until I was 13 because my dad beat the shit
uh-huh.
out of my mom on a regular basis. That's just the truth. Oh, I'm
uh-huh.
sorry. My dad beat
and
the shit out of my mom
feel so strong.
On a regular basis.
Right. And that's why you feel
but,
so strongly now about men putting their hands on women.
No, absolutely not. That is not the reason. No.
Okay.
Because my mother was just as abusive as my father.
Ooh, okay.
The reason I am where I am is because I have daughters.
Mm-hmm.
I have sisters. Not because of what my mom and my dad showed me. I have it because I have my daughters first, or actually my sisters first, and then my daughters. I would never allow my daughters to get hurt, ever. And some of my daughters date my son. That's how they're my daughters.
Mm.
Yeah,
okay.
that's also a fairly prevalent philosophy in a lot of households, where they allow the daughters to get away with murder practically, while the guys, the brothers, get the brunt of the of the blame.
No, no, not it. Well, that is very true, but not in my household. If you're wrong, you're wrong. If you're wrong, you're wrong. You're wrong, you're wrong. Period.
Mm-hmm.
If are there situations where people make mistakes? Absolutely. It's how you handle it. But in this household right here, where I live at, I tell them the same thing. And what they don't ever get to see is, or what they do get to see a lot, is how me and my wife deal with conflict. It's not that we don't have conflict. It's how we deal.
Uh-huh.
They watch us talk. They watch us understand, yes, I'm upset. Oh, shit, Pop's upset. Or stuff. Pop's upset.
And I want to interject in here, because my parents, we never saw them argue. I never saw my parents argue at all. And so that's why I think a lot of people these days, or a lot of kids these days, don't know how to handle situations, for the simple fact that they haven't seen anybody, or they don't know how to handle situations because they haven't seen situations being handled. Correct me if I'm wrong.
Right, absolutely. You know, and that's the second.
So all they know is
any one of
physical
my children
violence
say
at
to
some
me,
point. Mm-hmm.
Right. Any of my children that say to me, you know, I can use three different relationships in this household right now. And when they have conflict, I say, do you see me and Mom handling it this way? Nope. Okay. Just because you're used to yelling, screaming, kicking, fussing, doesn't mean that's not a way that we can't resolve.
Right.
And that is how, and it goes back to a while back we were on there, and I made the statement. There's no more big mamas. There's no more big papas. It's just not. There's not. They don't have an example to follow. Now, lucky for me that me and my wife are from the same thought process. We're going to give an example to them, to everybody that's in our household. We're going to give them an example to say, you know what, if they can make it through this, we can make it through it. Because right now,
we don't have enough examples. Right.
Yeah, and we don't have it. I wish I could count on my neighbor that called the damn, what's the name of them people, code enforcement on me because there was some work going on in front of my house. I wish I could walk down and talk to my neighbor and say, you know what, you could have came down and said there was a problem, and I would have fixed it.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, that's not the street I live on, and I live in a really good neighborhood. Mm.
Okay. Hmm.
Well, you know, there's always two prevailing philosophies regarding neighbors. Neighbors should always not interfere, let's throw that word out, but intervene. And there's the other philosophy where neighbors should mind their own business. So people don't know which
example,
to do.
Give me an example of when a neighbor should mind his own business.
Well, depending on the philosophy of that particular neighbor, could be for anything except if they hear a child being beaten. Mm-hmm. Then I think a neighbor should always, in, quote unquote, interfere. But in other instances, even if there's a violence,
but if the same
of domestic violence,
beat or a husband getting beat, would you tell them to not interfere again?
I wouldn't interfere because I've already intervened in five different situations where people were going to fight. After the fifth one, I said to myself, Joe, you're lucky, because somebody could have pulled out a knife. So I said to myself, I am not ever intervening in anything like that again. So if I hear neighbors going at each other, you know, that's up to them. Somebody can call the cops. Maybe I'll call the cops. But for me to try to break down the door, or if the door's open, to go in to see what's happening, I'm not doing it. Because I'm the most important person on this planet, and I don't know what's going on behind that door. And there are times when you interfere, then somebody's going to say, you know what? Nobody asked you.
So?
That's enough for me.
Are y'all safe? That's what I want to know. Are y'all safe?
What do you mean by y'all?
Is there any more of that?
My family. Yeah, me, I'm safe. And but the other people who aren't, if they're having a family battle, that's their problem now. I'm not interfering in anything else anymore, except if I hear kids. And that has to be a definite beatdown on a kid. I'm not talking about corporal punishment. I'm talking about a beatdown on a child.
I got you. I'm with you on that one.
Okay.
I just asked you to let me go first.
Okay. Well,
you ever hear that? Let me go first.
Well, you know, maybe I might want to put my hand on somebody as well.
I'm going to have you count to 30, and then you come in.
No. Well, you know, I might because, you might go to jail on behalf of righteousness because the woman might say, who asked you?
It's not going to hurt my permanent record.
You know, okay, everybody has their own philosophy. The thing is, no, I do not interfere. Because and then after that, I had seen somebody crash the car into a lamppost. People gathered around. The driver was okay, but me, I just looked and I said, "I'm walking away." As a matter of fact, there was an example about 2 years ago where a car got into a car crash, and it started to smoke. And it was a woman driving, and behind her was her friend driving a car. Her friend got out of the car, goes to help her friend who is now in the car, which is smoking, right?
Mm-hmm.
Pulls her out of the car. Her friend sues her because her shoulder got dislocated, and she said she pulled me out of the car too quickly and dislocated my shoulder. So when I read about that, that further affirmed my conviction. You get into a problem.
Well, let me explain
you get
this
yourself
thing.
Out of it.
Sir, first of all, that is not your friend. Second of all, if that was the case, I'm going to catch a charge in court. Because when you sue me and I'm going to save your life, when I go to court, it's going to be worth my while.
Yeah, I agree with you.
Then there's no problem in that.
There's no problem in that. But
no,
I'm not talking about my saving a friend from a burning car or a car that's smoking or about to burn up.
But
I'm
you just
used
that as an example. I'm just letting you know.
I use that as an example to affirm my particular philosophy of not intervening with violent situations because at the end of the day. The woman especially might say to me, well, nobody asked you. While she's bleeding from the eye and from the mouth, nobody asked you. Well, fine. Nobody asked you.
No,
therefore,
be cracking me up, bruh. He be trying to run away. He be spinning in circles.
My thing is,
spinning in circles. I hear your wife. I'm talking about what is happening.
That was my oldest daughter.
Oh, you wrote that. Well, then I heard your daughter. Okay.
Yep.
So I'm not spinning in circles. If I'm not being clear, let me know what I'm not being clear about.
You're in my ear, so nobody heard anything you said. But my thing is,
and was she talking about you?
No, she was talking about my grandson. You're good. My grandson be getting pissed off, and instead of figuring out why he's pissed off, he'll just run in a circle. So, like, he'll come at you, and then he'll bust at you and go somewhere else, but the whole time he's crying.
And yeah, I was about to say, your grandson's full of energy, probably no more than 4 years old.
If he was four, at least hold my mind on his butt a couple times. He's too young for me. He don't even understand. If you don't catch him right then, I got a granddaughter right now that has heard some unchoice words, and she uses them in context, but she don't really understand. You know, like,
yeah, I hear you.
You trip and
fall. I wonder why.
If you trip and fall on the ground, there's a choice word you could use, and she uses it in context. And
I wonder why.
Like, no, don't say that. But she don't understand what she's actually saying, but she uses it perfectly in context.
See, that's an example of the conditioning.
That's because she's heard other folks.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Right. Mm-hmm. Inez, you were about to say that.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. I mean,
and I just look at my daughter.
She didn't hear you all use that in context because they learn by rote.
Absolutely.
Okay, every time granddaddy falls, he says this word. So every time I fall, I'm going to say this word because that's the only word that I know. It's like, instead of saying,
that you used that example because that's exactly how it went down. And I asked you for your 2 cents in this whole
situation. I already know. I am a mother. I am a grandmother. I am a daughter. So I already know. And I've watched real life happen. I'm like, oh, no. So, and that's why I guess I don't use those words, because you have to remember who's in your earshot. And, you know, you have to take account and accountability of they are sponges, so therefore you have to remember. That's why I say on my show, don't cuss, because then if other people are listening to the show, they think I approve cussing. It's like, no, I don't. You know, that's why I say to you guys, hey, you know, because that's just something that in my household, in my mom and dad's house, they never did. They didn't cuss. My mom even spelled the word one time. She says, oh, I guess I can't spell that word because I was a brilliant speller. And I sounded the stupid word out. Mom says, oh, don't use that word. So they never use those words because I just was intelligent like that.
No.
So you have to remember your surroundings and who's in earshot of what's being said. Because if you want to instill intellect on them, you speak intellectually. If you want to speak dirt on them, you speak dirty. If you want to speak other things, Spanish, Chinese, Hungarian, Taiwan, Mandarin, when you speak that, they'll pick that up. But they don't have to go out the room because they're just loud. I'm just messing with you. But and that's what she knows, because when Papa fell, he said this. And I guess it's okay to say this because Papa said it. So now you know, it's like, okay, so how do you feel about that one, Dustin? It's okay with people in the background.
I'm sorry. I'm trying to let them get over there. Right now, my oldest daughter and my son are arguing over dishwasher truce.
Duty.
And they got into it. Now we're watching the ending result of how this goes.
Oh, okay. But,
I heard everything you said. I just couldn't comment because they were still in the middle of them resolving their conflict.
I think, and I may be wrong, but I think I heard your daughter use some choice words against her brother.
No, that wasn't her brother. That was her man. And that was between them two. That's why I was like,
But see, this is what we were talking about, Dustin. We were talking about how people learn. I also said that when kids, up until about the age of five, when they start attending first grade or even maybe second grade, third grade, kids are brilliant. And like Inez was talking about, they're sponges. How they can differentiate language and without reading a textbook, right, which is what you get in first grade about nouns, pronouns, adjectives, adverbs, verbs, et cetera, grammatical sentences, how kids can put together the right grammatical syntax of what they hear from their parents, to me, is an amazing example of raw intelligence.
Right. And I agree with you 100%.
Because my grandson, he was, I think, 3 or 4 years old. We were at Marshall's, I think, and it was around Christmas, and he wanted a toy, and he was crying and whatever and kind of arguing with his dad, so we were outside. And the two of them were talking, his dad and little man was talking. And dad, you know, he doesn't yell. I've never heard him yell. And he said, look, I know you want this toy, and I have a proposition for you. He said, I propose that you clean your room, you know, you get your toy. You know, the little man said to him, I propose not. What can we say?
I remember that story.
We had nothing else. I mean, he used the perfect context, and my daughter and I like, Joe dropped, so he's not going to be answering no more, or not for a while. But it's like we didn't know what else to say because no one told him how to use the word properly. He just used the word properly. And so it's like, well, dang it, Dina. You know, they are just, the young man, he's just brilliant. But then, again, I give him a lot of books to read, and, you know, and he will read them 4, 5, 6, 11, 12 times and get context out of the things that he reads. And so he's just brilliant. But his mom and dad are intelligent as well, or I should say intellects. But it's like, well, dang. So we have to be careful of what we say and how we say what we say. Around children at those ages of conception, and I say old cuss word, and it's, people just have to be cracking up because it's just like this thing is. Did you say old cuss word? I say yeah, because you can insert anything you want, but I'm not putting anything in there. So I say, but a lot of times they say, oh Jesus, but we have to be very careful. Okay, Dustin hung up as well. Everybody done hung up. What happened? Okay, so it's just me right now. So, because Joe's dropped off, Dustin's dropped off, and Reverend Carolyn has dropped off. So it's me right now until everybody, I guess, will come back in. But we've been talking about truth be told, and if you want to call in, 845-241-9985, 845-241-9985. If you have any comments or want to say anything, I don't know if Lorianne is still in the chat room, but we do have one in the chat room. We are here, and so let's talk about it. Truth be told, that's what our subject is tonight. So if you want to call in or join us in the chat room at www.blogtalkradio.com/letsdoitradio. Again, this is Miss Inez, and we're just here talking about truth be told and being stuck in the matrix, as Joe would say. He was the one who brought that subject forward, and what he had brought forward was talking about the construction of the matrix, and he was also talking about influences and society's conditioning is what we were talking about. The lies we were told earlier, we were talking about, and it's funny about, you know, Santa Claus, the Easter Bunny, Tooth Fairy, and all that. Our parents would tell us that those people were out there, and truth be told, there was no such person out there. And then also, and so as Joe was talking, he brought some situations to us about being in the matrix and the construction of the matrix and how we are get stuck in the matrix. Joe, are you out there?
Yeah.
Okay. Because I know you had fallen off, so. Dustin fell off as well, so.
Oh, so you were talking to people about went. The about what the show's theme was about. Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Uh huh. So that's I was just talking about that. So right now it's just you and I, and then Lorianne in the I was gonna say in the Matrix, in the chat room.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah.
Yeah.
But, you know, you have a strong. You know, what do you want to call it? Philosophy, I guess, as you would say that, you know, if a woman hit you, you'd hit her back, and you'd say that many a times. And one person was saying, everyone is going to handle their situations differently. However, it should be more positive than negative. And that guy sounds as if he can be there for whatever, and he will hit a woman, just going off his conversation. So she said, good night, and I will join the next one. That's what she said. And, you know, everybody has strong opinions of.
Sure. And you see the reaction.
Lorianne
right?
says she's in the chat room. Huh? Excuse me?
I'm saying to the woman who hung up, she had a reaction to it. Like, oh, you can never hit a woman. To me, BS. Okay? Do not.
No,
and
no,
this is why.
You can never, no. Uh-huh. She didn't say you can never hit a woman. But you're just very strong-willed about. If a woman hits you, you will definitely hit her back, is what I'm saying.
Absolutely. You know, while I am, let's say there are men who are adjusting to the philosophy, never hit a woman. So now they're going to treat her gently, try to find a way to restrain her, maybe to grab her and put her down on the couch and, you know, and wrestle with her until she tires out. Bull. Okay, don't put your hands on me. Uh-huh. You know me. Don't put your hands on me. You do, you're asking for trouble. Now, if you already know you shouldn't poke the bear, don't be surprised when the bear bites you in the butt. Okay?
Uh-huh.
By doing that, a woman should, if she's got enough common sense, will say, I won't poke the bear. We'll talk things out. Whereas maybe ordinarily, she would want to start poking the bear literally in the chest, getting up in somebody's face, okay? You don't do that with me, okay? We talk things out. If we can get mad, come back again another time if things get out of hand, but don't put your hands on me. I am not somebody that, just because I'm a man, you can take advantage of it, okay?
Mm-hmm.
If anybody's
mm-hmm.
going to get hurt, it's going to be you. If you're stupid enough to ignore their warning, you get what you get, okay? I don't put my hands on people. Don't put your hands on me.
Mm-hmm.
Simple. I don't
yeah.
care if you have a weapon
but
in your hand
people,
now or yeah. yet. Mm-hmm.
And some people, not to cut you off, that's all they know how to do is defend themselves because of probably what they had seen in their lifetime. So she may have seen her mom put her hands on her dad, you know, and the dad putting his hands on the mom. So that's maybe all she knows, and it's just like, hey, you know, first you can try to defuse it before you go, haul off and hit her, because if you haul off and hit her, you may haul off and hit her, and she may not get back up. I'm just saying. And so therefore,
well, I understand.
You're
yeah.
going to say,
mm-hmm.
you're going to say to the policeman, well, she hit me first, you know, and so I just knocked the snot out of her. Okay. All right, so here you go. You killed her, so now you're going to jail for murder.
Well,
so
yeah,
well,
first
of
off, yeah.
I'm just saying. You know what I'm saying?
Gonna,
I'm just saying.
Yeah, I know what you mean. You're taking the situation
mm-hmm.
and putting it to the extreme where it's a possibility. I'm saying
right.
if I
right.
if the woman knows me, right, and she still is going to put her hands on me, she deserves what she gets. Now, if I knock her out, that's too bad. Now I have to face the cops. However, in law, laws
right.
are changing in states where the woman, especially if she can confirm that there was a fight, right, she's not going to get the kind of priority treatment that women were getting before. So, but in any case, even if she is going to get the priority treatment, if a woman knows you don't poke the bear, meaning me, and you're still going to poke the bear, I'm going to assume that maybe if you're that stupid, that crazy, then you're going to try to find something right nearby, can opener, what was it? So
anything
was used
in arm's length?
Anything, right, anything at hand
anything.
To make. Right, to make sure you hit me in the face, the eye, kick me in the nuts. I'm not standing for it, okay? And no man should. But if you, okay, but if people want to, they can. They can run their lives any way that they want to. I'll run my life the way I want to. People have different philosophies.
And they do. They do. Dustin, you're back. I see. Thank you.
Yeah.
He may have us.
At the end of the day, situation be dictated. Here in Georgia, they have passed the mutual combat law.
Bill, law.
Yeah, and basically is. It used to be on domestic violence, the man was always charged, period. I have two of them, and I never raised my hand at all. I had scratches and marks and everything else on my face. I had glass on my face, and I still got charged. And I'm like, how does that even work? But now they've passed it, that, and it truly is to give a fair shot to the man, because there's men like me that will never raise their hand to any woman. It's not going to happen. Now, my sisters, that's a different story. I've had scrap down, beat down fights with my sisters. That's different. But a significant other?
That's sibling stuff, huh?
Sibling doesn't count. But at the end of the day, now it's called mutual combat. And that allows the judge, when we get in front of the judge and go, okay, what happened? Well, he was punching me in my back and my throat and then stood in the door when I tried to leave and I pushed her out of the way. Well, is that an aggressive form? Did I try to hurt her? No. I was trying to leave the situation. And then now...
Right.
The quote-unquote victim that used to be able to be the victim is now no longer the victim. Now it's all of a sudden, when he was trying to leave, why didn't you let him go? Well, I didn't want him to leave right now because I wasn't done talking. You just punched him in the back and the neck because his back and his neck, the pictures that we have right now, shows that he has welts all over the back and his head. Like, And now it makes the woman accountable for her actions. At the end of the day, in a true relationship, and if you're really in a relationship, there's never a reason to be physical. Ever. Ever. Ever, ever.
Right.
Even if my wife, and knock on wood and anything else, I know she wouldn't do that. But even if my wife cheated on me, that would not be enough for me to be physical with my wife. There's no reason. None.
You just leave.
Oh, that's the way you want? Oh, okay. Hey, I hope that's good for you. Yes, I'm out.
Are you in Georgia, Dustin? That's a good law. I like that law. Like I said, the states were changing their laws.
Would.
Yeah.
You would.
Well, you should.
Now, I know we were talking about domestic violence and what have you, and I came across a website talking about statistics on domestic violence And they're talking about 10 million women and men. That's what they did their stats on. And it says, on average, nearly 20 people every minute are physically abused by an intimate partner in the United States. During 1 year, this equates to more than 10 million men and women. 1 in 4 women and 1 in 9 men experience severe intimate partner physical violence, intimate partner contact sexual violence, and or intimate partner stalking with impacts such as injury, fearfulness, post-traumatic stress disorder, and use of victim services, contraction of sexual transmitted diseases, etc. And so this gives a whole bunch of stats that I can put in the chat room, what have you. But
I would bet a thousand to one. I would bet a thousand to one that 9 to 1 for men is more along the line of 6 to 1.
I was about to say something just like that.
I would bet that number because what has happened. And this goes back to Big Mama and Big Papa sitting on the front porch and giving the guidance that there's. One, these kids don't have parents. They have a parent. And it could go men or women. It could go either way. So these kids don't have any example of how a healthy relationship is supposed to be.
No.
And so... Uh-huh. These girls are out here. My oldest biological daughter, I have to tell her all the time, you cannot talk to your baby daddy the way you talk to him. You can't. It's not. Now, is there
and then think you're going to come out unscathed.
Not even just unscathed. Like, you just don't talk to people that way. Now, are there situations where he has earned the talking that he's got? Absolutely. Absolutely. That was just dumb, what you just did. That was just dumb. But there's a way to speak and get your point across without being disrespectful, without being hurtful, without PTSD and depression and all the other stuff that goes along with these. Yeah. But it all boils back that if Inez, you and bro, if all of us live, me, everybody on this phone right now, if all of us lived on the same block, let's just say we're neighbors both directions.
Okay.
Our children would not have the opportunity to say they didn't have an example of how it was supposed to be. They couldn't come over and say, well, Miss Inez said this, 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 and this. And they could not come over and say that Brooke could said this, this, and this. They couldn't do that. They couldn't.
Because that village is raising the children.
Right. Because I could go over to Joe and say, hey, Joe, we don't agree on some things, but we do on others. This is where we are. And Joe could be like, you know what? I saw your child, it doesn't matter sex or not, but I saw your child do this, and I told them that. My child would understand. They couldn't come to me and be like, well, Mr. Joe got on all this. Well, what were you doing?
And well, you would rest assured, I would not put my hands on anybody's child. I would talk to them, I would not. Yeah.
Now, Mrs. Joe, I will say this. Mrs. Joe, if you saw my child pull a weapon on another child or another person outside of defending themselves, you didn't say something that would truly bother the shit out of me.
And if I saw that, you're right. If I saw
if you look out the window and you saw my son walking out and he's got his pistol in his hand and he's getting ready to do something stupid and I was not home and you did not say anything and allowed whatever happened happened, I would be like, you couldn't come and tell me, well, I saw the whole thing. Why the hell you didn't stop it?
Okay, now. Okay, I'm glad
now,
you brought that up.
To an extent.
Uh-huh.
I don't want you to get, if it's, you know, you're supposed to yell out the door. And I'm not being saying run up on him and tackle him and take his weapon. I ain't saying that. What I'm saying is you're supposed to open your door and be like, yo, Jayden, you take your butt back in the house. And now if he chooses not to after that, that's a different story. But you didn't say a word to my child and we're neighbors and you saw this happening, you couldn't come and tell me, I saw him, but I didn't do nothing. We have nothing else to talk about. We're not friends. We're not cool no more. We're not nothing anymore. Because if the roles were reversed and I seen your child walking out, and hey, look, baby girl, what you doing? Take your stuff back in the house. Go back in the house. I'm going to keep myself safe.
Yeah. You bring up a good situation.
And that's his philosophy.
No, but see, here's the thing. See, he's bringing up a situation in which I know him, and I do not know him. If I know him, I will say something. If I don't know him, he's going to disagree with me on this. But I, like I said,
but, okay,
I have intervened.
Stop right there. Because we're on the same block, and we've had conversations, and hopefully this is what he's saying. You know, it's like, hey, you know, if you see my child doing something or, you know, acting up, blah, 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 you have the right to. And, you know, us being neighbors, you know, depending on how long we've been neighbors, you know, you're hoping that it's like, hey, if you see something wrong, Joe, please tell me so that I can, you know, come back and chastise. Because, you know, you get chastised from Joe, then you get chastised from Big Mama, then you get chastised from Mama, you get chastised from Daddy, you get chastised from Big Papa, okay? So you don't have, you know, no rhyme or reason to just sit there and be a referee saying, oh, okay.
You're right about that. If somebody's given me that kind of permission, then I'm going to say, but, I was about to say, if I know him, but we haven't had that conversation where we're giving each other permission, I would still say something to the child.
Right.
Hey, put that knife away. Because now we're not talking about, you know, two people fight, two kids fight. We're talking about his child taking out a weapon. I'm saying, hey, let's say his name is Bob.
Jayden,
bring your ass inside. Put that weapon down. Get inside.
Absolutely.
That I would do. Now, if I did not know him and I see that situation, but I know that is his child, I may not do a thing because of my experiences with other people before.
I think that's the thing.
We've been in the neighborhood long enough that you have the right, all the rights and privileges, like they do in the church. You have all rights, privileges, you know, to go after my son or daughter because, you know, we're in this neighborhood and we're trying to raise our children right.
That
but if
is
you just
a reasonable
move into the neighborhood, you know, and you don't know Dustin and you don't know me, you're not sure how to handle that person. But what Dustin is saying is we know each other, we're neighbors, and we're you know.
And that's what I'm saying, too, and here's why.
For us to help each other. Mm-hmm.
But here's why I say I may not interfere, even though we've known each other for years. Because people can make that reasonable assumption that the neighbor should interfere to make sure nobody gets hurt. But when that person, the neighbor, does interfere, even though the father or the mother, expressed that philosophy for years, they should get interfere.
Mm-hmm.
But what happens, though, is that in real life, when that child is being interfered with, all of a sudden it's my child. You what were you doing? Why did you say that? Forget about
what they said.
And
you're absolutely right. And unfortunately, that goes back to those people. And if any of those situations that have happened in your life, I would bet any amount of money that anybody wants to bet that the that particular person has never been, does not have a family understanding, does not have a neighborhood understanding. They were not afforded that. One of my clients,
right.
And this is funny, today, this just happened today. I called because we were waiting on some sod to be delivered. And I called her to see if the sod, you know, what day it was going to be delivered. And she is a single mom who has a 7-year-old daughter, and she's also pregnant now. And her daughter took her out of her own car. And when she got on the phone, when I called, she was like, baby girl, I'm locked the car right now. And she did not know how to handle the situation. I said, wait a minute. I said, walk away from the car for a second. And she was like, I just don't understand. Like, I give her everything. And she just, and I was like, this is one of those moments where you have to be a parent. I said, and parenting is not fun. Parenting is a job that there's no book for. I said, but you have people that are in your life that will allow you and coach you through situations like this. I said, let me show you how this works. I said, listen to my voice and breathe. I know she's late for school. I know you're trying to get, you got a job to do and you have all these things, but just take a few seconds. Calm down. And you have to look at the reason that is going on with that child. Yes, she should listen to everything you have to say. But in the same breath, you're her friend first. You're not her parent. I said, this is something that you have to change. Because if roles reverse, I love my children to death. I have a great relationship with my kids. But I am a parent. And it's funny because Joe said earlier, your daughter said a few choice words. That is the way that she's biologically not mine, but she's my son's girlfriend. She was not biologically raised by me.
But
and
claimed.
Even when she realizes this is the way that she talks, this is the thing, that's just who she is. She's a rah-rah person. In the same breath, even when she catches herself cussing in front of me, she always come back and say, my bad, Dad. I was just talking and I got excited. And it was funny because you pointed it out and I looked at her and she just puts her head down and she puts her hands, her palms to earth like, my bad. And that's her way of giving the respect, even though I'm not asking her to change who she is. She does better with it.
Right.
She does do better. But it's a process, and that's what for us, me, you, and Joe, us, our generation, we understood how it works. The simple, the simple, just yes sir, no sir, yes ma'am, no ma'am, thank you, please, those things. It's simple to us, but it's very difficult to somebody who has no clue what that means.
Right.
And that goes back to there's no more Big Mama, no more Big Papa. Joe, I apologize that you have had to deal with the people that have not had what we had.
You do not have to apologize for them. So please do not put that burden on yourself. These people.
That was just out of respect. I know.
Yeah, I don't.
It's the same reason why marriage and biological right now, I have 3 children that live in this house. Biological, I have 2 out of my 3 that live in my house. With that, I also have my nephew/son, because I've raised him, his girl, and 2 kids. I have my married middle son's best friend, his girl, and their son, and my daughter with her, my granddaughter, my mother-in-law, who all live in my home right now. I know, and my middle son's best friend's girlfriend's little brother lives in my house also, if that makes sense. I have 17 people in this house. And out of those 17 people, only three of us have ever came from families that had mother and father and relationship.
Huh.
Because that is rare. It actually is rare, because you were talking about the older generation. And
yeah,
it was
uh-huh.
different
uh-huh.
way, way, way back when. You should see the videos. You should see the videos
right.
on YouTube about women, the modern day women, who are talking about what they want from a man, but what they're not willing to bring to the table, what they think
right.
about the modern dating scene. It is a
right.
whole new matrix.
It's a whole new matrix. But in my household right now, as I watch the dynamic between my son Skyler and his mother and their child, both of them are young parents, and the Jasmine, his baby mom, his girlfriend, his wife, and I call her his wife because that's just their relationship just reminds me of a married couple, but their son is all the way up until he moved here with us has been a very, codependent on his parents, and he's learned to manipulate them. And if he doesn't get his way, he does one or two things. He either falls out on the floor or he hits. But he doesn't hit Pop-Pop. Why doesn't he hit Pop-Pop? Because Pop-Pop hit him back. He doesn't fall out with Pop-Pop. Why? Because Pop-Pop will slot his little ass across the floor. I don't give a nope. No, that's not how that works. So when he starts having one of his episodes, I turn and I look, and all of a sudden it gets quiet. How do you do that? What is it? I've earned my respect and my place in his life. It's okay if you fall and you get hurt. It's okay to cry. I get that. But if you don't get
And you've established, yes, you've established authority and consequences.
Absolutely. And to sit back, and this is, like I said, this is the importance of Pop-Pop being in the house. Because when Mom does the same thing that Pop-Pop does, it's a different reaction. And I tell her, hey, it's okay to lose your mind one time, two times to get his attention. It's okay. It's okay. Because children need to understand, like all the kids in this house, and not all of them been with me their whole lives, but everybody in this house knows there's a point if I come in and I'm upset, that is not the time to mess with Pop-Pop, ever. It's not going to work out the way it's going to work out. And these kids, some of these kids have only been with me a couple months, but they understand. I've demanded my respect. I've given the same respect back out. If you screw up, I'm in that bad tail. If you do good, I'm going to show you. I'm going to take you on a day to make you proud of
you. You are the leader of your own house. In your own house, you get the courtesy, consideration, and respect that you, being the owner of the house, the provider of the shelter, deserves. As far as I'm concerned, it's just that simple.
It's just that simple. So I can say, I tell people all the time, you can come to my home. Like Inez, Joe, you could come to my home, and I could introduce you. This is your Auntie Inez. This is your Uncle Joe. My children, all of them, everybody that lives in this house will call you exactly what I said. Period. And they will treat you accordingly. They know the difference. If I say, this is Mr. Joe, you're just Mr. Joe. If you're Uncle Joe, you have privileges to talk stuff. There's a difference. I've trained, I've made it very clear. And if somebody calls, if somebody comes over here, like I have a friend of mine, his name is Junior. Junior's older than all of my children. Junior is just Junior. He's not Uncle Junior. There's a big difference. I've heard one of my kids like, hey, Uncle Junior, no, that is not Uncle Junior at all. At the best, he will ever be is a cousin. the older cousin, yeah. But no, you don't. He doesn't earn that respect. And that is what's missing in society today.
Mm-hmm.
Today.
Tell me about it. I keep talking about how parents abdicate their responsibilities, and as a result, the kids are growing up without guidance and they're fending on their own, but they're not doing it as well as they should. So I talk about that. You know,
so
people say, well,
another example for you. I needed to pick my niece up from school. She was sick. She wasn't feeling good. Not a big deal. I pull up in front of the school. She's not there. Walk in, sign her out. And I'm sitting here waiting, and this little boy, and she's in the fifth grade, little boy comes in, and the teacher's got him by the arm, and, I mean, he is 48 high. He is pissed off. I don't even know what the situation was. But he's yelling and screaming, I don't give a damn. Call my fucking mama. That's how he's talking. Excuse my language. And that's how he's talking. And I stood up immediately, and it was a female teacher, and I said, excuse me, ma'am, let me talk to this young man for a second. I said, come, you little butt, over here and sit down. And he looked at me for a minute. I said, I'm not going to ask you again, son, sit down. You're not my daddy. I said, I know I'm not your dad, because you wouldn't even thought about whether or not it was smart for you to sit down. He looked at me for a minute, and I said, and I got in his face, and I said, young man, what's your problem? What's wrong today? She told me I ain't no good at doing my homework. And I said, is that the exact words that she said to you? Or is that what you heard? I said, I don't know. And I said, well, give me one second. You understand me? Don't say a word. I turned around. I said, man, what did you say to him? She said, no. What I told him is that he needs to do his homework so that he understands what's happening in class today. That's not what the hell you said. I said, sir, cuss at her again, and there's not anybody in here that's going to stop me from getting you. He got quiet. I'm going to tell my mom what you said. I said, I'm going to tell your mom the same thing I'm going to tell you. I'm going to whoop your tail until I feel that you understood where I'm coming from. Do you understand me, son? He just looked at me and got quiet. I turned to the teacher and I said, what is the particular problem with him? He has no respect for women, and he has no respect for what he's supposed to do. And I said, I looked at her and I said, well, you kind of have an attitude right now, and I understand you're frustrated, but you're a teacher. You got to understand that some children don't have the same understanding that you. I said, well, what is it that you need him to do? Well, first of all, I need him to do his homework. Second of all, I need him to stop yelling in class. I said, I'm gonna do a little experiment right now. I said, because I can guarantee I'm the only person that's ever been in his life that looks like me. I said, I don't know what you can say to him that no other male teacher said. I said, I'm not a male teacher. I'm not restricted by the rules you are. Well, I can't let you put your hands on him. I said, you or nobody else, including his mama, could stop me. I said, if I decide to whoop his little tail in here, he's just going to have a tail whoop. Oh, I called the police. I said, it ain't the first time I've been to jail. It ain't going to be my last. Go ahead. I said, you shut up. I told him, you shut up until I'm done talking. And then you going to talk. You understand? He nodded yes. I said, man, give me just a few minutes. Let me talk to him. Well, I don't know if we're allowed to allow you to talk to a child that doesn't belong to you. And I said, well, while you figure it out, I'm going to talk to him. And then you come tell me that I can't. And at the same time, call his mom and tell her I'd like to talk to her. So she left, went to the principal's office. I said, young man, I said, what's the problem with your homework? I said, why don't you like to do it? And this is math. And if anybody knows me, know math is my favorite because I use it every day.
I'm coming to see you.
He said, when I be doing my homework, I don't have nobody to ask no questions to. And I said, what you having a problem with? And it was fractions, and I get it. And I said, well, look, I ain't supposed to give you my phone number because you don't know me like that, right? I said, yeah. I said, but I'm going to give you my phone number, but I want you to text it to your mom first. But he, I mean, before I could even get the number out, he had already texted to his mom. He said, all right, she got it. Huh. I said, you got my number saved in your phone? I said, when you have problems with your math and you don't understand, you call me. I'll walk you through it. And he was like, my mom just don't understand fractions like that. I was like, I don't understand spelling like that. I said, I can't spell to this day. I said, but math is my thing. I like math, so I got you on this one. You know that this happened, let's see, almost 5 weeks from now. You know that boy calls me every Wednesday?
Wow.
Every Wednesday, that boy called me. Do you know that boy has a B-plus average in his class right now? In math?
See there? Because someone took the time.
It's our job. It's our job.
Uh-huh.
Because there's nobody left. There's nobody left. Nobody wants that responsibility. Nobody wants to take that time. It's too much.
Uh-huh.
And anybody know me? No, I work. I work a lot. But if I can give 10 minutes on a Wednesday, the little boy, I ain't have no relationship at all with his mama at all other than she know, hey, Mr. Dustin, that's what she called me. It all
is she a young mother?
Huh?
Is she a young mother? Is she a young mother?
33. She's not too young,
yeah.
But young enough. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
She ain't want to be 21-year-old. But at the end of the day, at the end of the day, all the things that we fuss about these young kids and the way they talk and this violence they have, and domestic violence and all that, yes, did we have it back in our day? Absolutely. But we had an opportunity, just like my dad. Like, if I was, I love my dad to death, but did I love him my whole life? No. No. My mom says, oh, you were too young to remember what your dad did to me. No, I'm not. No, I wasn't. I remember it. I remember you crying. It's impossible. No, it's not. It's not. Just like Joe said earlier, they are sponges. We're sponges.
I see that.
We remember all of that. I remember every ounce of it.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And at the end of the day, where are we? Me, you, and Joe are mad because these kids don't have any idea what it means to just be a person.
Let me break in for a second. I just got a text from Joe Gibson, and I also was on a show about 10 minutes ago for a few minutes. World War III may have broken out. I think Israel attacked Iran. So I just wanted to break that in.
Ooh. That means I'm getting ready to get a that means I'm getting ready to get a text.
A call.
And I'm hoping that the World War III is limited and doesn't spread out to the Ukraine, Russia, and then the United States and China. Because if we do have World War III, I'm hoping that if it does occur, I get eviscerated in 5 seconds as opposed to living through a nuclear war.
Say that one more time.
Eviscerated. Now, I can spell, but I can't spell that word.
Eviscerated. In other words, when the missiles come over here and they blast.
I understand what it means.
Oh, okay.
I just cannot spell it. I just cannot spell it.
Okay.
I said, yeah.
I have a bottle of liquor that sits over in the corner of my garage. And it is it's just a simple bottle of Malibu. It's a rather large bottle of Malibu. And I have a marijuana joint rolled up next to it. And my kids asked me, if nuclear war went out right now, what would you do? And I said, I would take this chair, and I'm going to sit in front of my house. I'm going to have a bottle in one hand. I'm going to have another one in the other. And I'm going to smoke, and I'm going to enjoy it until I have I have a permanent orange afro, and all the paint gets sucked off my house. That's what's going to. That's how I'm going to.
Yeah.
I'm going to watch this beautiful fireworks show, and I'm just going to enjoy the last little parts of my life.
That's it. Because I want to be gone in 5 seconds. I do not want to live through nuclear fallout. So to me, World War III, because I fear I have faced death. And surprisingly, it wasn't all that scary. The thing is if I don't care about dying, but I do care about rotting to death.
Absolutely.
You know?
Too late.
And because of my proximity of Atlanta, Georgia, from where I'm at, I've already calculated. I've got about 32 seconds after I see the bright flash. I got about 32 seconds to say my piece.
I know exactly what you mean.
Because the crazy part is people don't understand that
guys and girls, because I'm going to get off the line now, okay? And
you have
I'll
an
talk
awesome
to you too, Dustin.
Before you
and
be
you too,
eviscerated?
I'm going to wait to be eviscerated. All right.
Where are you in the United States?
Montana.
I could always call
it's
you.
Montana
I'm not worried about it. You're going to make it.
That's it. That's why it's Montana Joe. All right. So good night, guys. I'll
night.
Talk to you another
good
time.
Good night.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
All right. Sounds good. Okay. Bye-bye.
Inez, the crazy part is that if they decide to use nuclear weapons, the stuff we had that we dropped on Hiroshima and Nagasaki is a fart in the wind compared to what we have right now. And if they decide
it's
to launch
more
that,
devastating.
A thousand, if not 10,000 times more devastating. Then there's no, and mutual assured destruction is a truthful statement. That means that if I launch, everybody launches.
Right.
So,
we're all going in a handbasket.
Yeah, and there's nowhere that you're going to survive. If you're lucky enough to get out on one of the islands, and I don't mean Hawaii, I mean one of the uncharted islands, 250 uh-huh. miles off the coast of the United States, both directions, you might be okay for a short period of time. But you're going to go through a nuclear winter for at least 8-9 years before the sun's even able to show itself again. And if you make it that long, you know, then you're a part of starting the new world, but
8 or 9 years. Let me see. So, I will be 8 years. I will be 74. 9 years. I'll be 75. Okay.
You're not at the childbearing age anymore, so you don't count.
That's what I was going to say. I can't have no children. I mean, you may be able to stick it in me, and you know, hopefully have intravitreal IVF or whatever. Huh?
Right. You might have fun. You might have some fun in it, but that's about how you get down.
I'm sorry. There's just going to be some powdered milk and some powdered dust.
Yeah.
That's all it's going to be.
I'm rigid with you. I'll be shooting the same dust you shooting. It's okay. But Israel attacking Iran is very scary. And if I get in the next 72 hours, if I get a phone call, it'll be a while before I get to talk to you again.
Well, you just let me know. Just say, hey, I'm out, deuces, and I'll know why.
Yep.
I already know why. Cause I have friends and stuff already, you know, doing their duty trying to figure out stuff. So, you know, turn around, kiss your butt goodbye, and just say, hey. And that's sad because that we have to go through this. I mean, how many people have been through world wars or that are still alive? You can talk about it.
Mm.
You know, and that it's just, you know, I'm telling you, the end of war is coming. End of the world is coming eventually. So we might just get used to it or get ready for it. I've been trying to tell people that, but they don't listen. They won't listen. But hey, what can I say? I can only talk about it. And then I don't know, I think you were on the show when I was talking about getting ready for, are you ready if something did happen? Did I tell you about that? Or were you on the show?
I don't think so.
I think it was entitled, Are You Ready? And talking about survival and, you know, what to do in case, you know, we don't have any water and all those kind of things.
I gave everybody understanding. I mean, if we were in a nuclear war and they just attacked Washington, D.C. in the middle, if they talked about, you know, the things that would survive and how to survive if they attacked what they would normally do, military attack. You know, how to survive that. But I'm better at telling you how to survive a civil war than I am how to survive a nuclear.
Nuclear. Yeah. It's sad, but that's life as we know it now. Wars and wars and wars. And why are we even warring? Why? That's what I want to know. Why? If somebody can answer that question, I'd be happy. You know,
absolutely.
Just so that they can do what? Have some land? Okay.
But there's hot dogs you can throw on the grill. In one of those two refrigerators, just open it up and put it in the right there. All right, man. It's just the night.
All right. Well, I thank you for joining us as always. You know, it's always a pleasure to have my men join me in our shows and stuff. And like I said, if you have to go, just text me, say deuces, and I already know. You know,
okay.
All I can say is stay safe, you know, kiss the children, and just say hey. You know, that's all I can say.
Okay. I will be
back. Godspeed be with you. Oh, yeah. You'll be back, but hey. All right, sunshine. Thank you. All right. Love you, too. Talk to you later. All right, you all. You heard World War III has just broken out, as Joe announced. I'm looking to see on the news, see if anything's out there. World War III. Let's see what we got. Ukraine warns of World War III ahead of long stalled Congress a vote. News about World War III. 12 hours ago, World War III fears loomed for voters in 2024 amid Iran-Israel clashes. 19 hours ago, 19-8, 2 days ago. So you all just get ready. As I was trying to get you all ready, you know, nuclear wars are worse than, you know, local wars or civil wars, as Justin was saying. But, hey, you know, head to the mountains, head to a place underground where only a few people can go, so just get ready. That's all I got to say. Just plan your life accordingly. It's scary, so just be ready, okay? I'm sorry. I just, you know, you hear these things. You hope you don't hear these things, but when you hear these things, it hurts even more because so many people will die needlessly and insensitively, not necessarily. So the announcements that I have is happy birthday to those who had birthdays within the last few days that I wasn't able to wish you a happy birthday, as well as happy anniversaries and congratulations on promotion. And all of your victories that you've gone through, you know, we do have another caller that just joined us. I don't know if we got a couple of callers that just joined us. Hey, people out there. Joe, Montana Joe, just heard that, and you've probably been on the line with us, that World War III may have just broken out or is getting ready to break out. So just get ready because you never know what's going to happen. You just don't know what's going to happen. So as we close our program this evening, truth be told, you know, just don't know what's going to happen. So have plans in place. You know, if you need to meet your loved ones, as I had talked about before, call them, get an emergency plan, get a meetup plan so that, you know, you will be able to see your loved ones if, you know, we don't get hit by nuclear bombs and what have you. But call your loved ones and make those plans, those emergency exit plans, those meetup plans, because you just never know what may happen and you may not be able to see them or do some FaceTime. I know it sounds like I'm just talking morbidly, but you know, you just don't know what people's minds are doing. And if one bomb goes, you just never know all the others will go. So eventually world peace will be world death. So you know, our show tonight was, Miss Inez says, let's talk about it, truth be told. You know, truth be told, that when the big one comes, you know, we're gone. There's no, you know. So live each day to be happy. You know, don't live it like it's your last, because you don't never know what's going to happen if world peace comes back. But you know, when the Gap Band says, you dropped a bomb on me. You really dropped a bomb on me. I wasn't ready to talk about World War III yet, but we've talked about World War III coming. We just didn't know when. And so, as Dustin was saying, if he gets a call within the next three days, he's out, along with a lot of other men who's going to be called back into duty, and women, men and women, excuse me, that's going to be called back into duty. So the best thing I can say is, you know, call your loved ones, you know, those who you've had aught with, and make it right, you know, because you don't want to be, you know, torn apart and then not being able to say you're sorry or I love you or what have you. But can we talk about it? It's a hard subject to talk about, but, you know, you just don't know what other people are thinking about. So, as they say, just get ready. That's all I got to say, just get ready. Get some water, get some food. Make sure you have all the necessities that you need in case, you know, this World War III does break out and we have World War III in the United States, because you don't know if your neighbor is crazy. So make sure you have weaponry. And just be ready. I know we had a show. Probably 3 months ago, talking about, are you ready? Are you ready for World War III? Are you ready for the world to be destroyed? If not, get ready, because you just never know what's happening. That's all I got to say. I just want to thank everybody for coming, for joining us this evening. Let's see. Announcements are, we had tax day on Monday. Today is Thursday. So this weekend we have Reverend Carolyn Williamson out of Yakima going to be speaking with us on the third Sunday. Next week, next Tuesday and Thursday, we have Miss Inez. Let's talk about it. We may be talking about New Kids on the Block. It was, you know. You'll hear what that is, because these kids these days, they're not ready to be in charge. And with all this going on, we don't know who's going to be in charge. And Wednesday is Bible study with Reverend Ronnie Marshall. So get ready for Bible study. And then in the fourth Sunday, we have Reverend Ronnie Marshall speaking with us. And he is going to be presenting the word on the fourth Sunday, and he's with True Worshipers Ministry out of Little Rock, Arkansas. And please support him in, by purchasing or listening to his music on all music media, iTunes, Apple, YouTube, anything to do with music. You can find his music out there under Ron Marshall. And once you find him, you'll enjoy his music. Also, I am a number one international best-selling author in the U.S. and in the U.K., for the book, She Said Yes to Herself Unapologetically, which is an anthology, and it's a compilation of 31 women who wrote this book, and copies are available for $31. No, it's not a dollar a story, but it's $25 with $6 for shipping and handling. If you would like a copy signed and sent out to you, if you know me, you could text me or send an email to me at letsgetradio@gmail.com, and you can send your money either through Cash App, Venmo, or Zelle, whichever is easiest for you, and I would be happy to send you a copy of the book, She Said Yes to Herself Unapologetically, and it's not just for women, it is also for men, because, hey, we all need to read about one another. Also, in the morning, we have Eagle Saints Outreach Ministry International with morning worship, I guess, or morning Bible study. And you are more, and that's at 3 a.m. Pacific, 4 a.m. Mountain, 5 a.m. Central, and 6 a.m. Eastern. And if you would like to join them, you can do so by calling this number. It's a conference line. 605-472-5587, 605-472-5587, and the pin to connect is 931-403-POUND, that's 931-403-POUND, and if you want to keep me on the air and hear more about Miss Inez Fizz, let's talk about it, you can send to Cash App, $ANAISC, VALCOUR, or through Venmo at MZ-INEZ, or if you know Marcel or Martel, you can always send through Zelle. So thank you, thank you, thank you. And again, I'm thanking the worldwide listening audience for joining in and listening and joining me in the chat room, the chat room, the chat room, the chat room, and with Let's Talk About It, Let's Talk About It, Let's Talk About It, Let's Talk About It. And if you missed the episode, you can always go back and listen on demand at www.blogtalkradio.com/Let's Do Radio and peruse the list and go and listen to episodes that have been aired. And you can tell a friend about it. If you want to share it, let me know, and I can send it out to you. Or if you can download it, you can do so. And maybe you might have a topic you want to discuss, like Joe, Montana Joe. We discussed some of everything. We talked about propaganda. We talked about construction of the matrix, basically society. And it's just was interesting. It was interesting, society's conditioning and the lies we've been told and the propaganda that we face. So I want to thank Joe for being the, what do you want to call it, the bringer of that subject. This evening, thank you, thank you, thank you. And he's the one who told us about World War III may have broken out. So, if you have something on your chest, don't keep it to yourself, but get it off your chest. As Miss Inez says, let's talk about it, okay? Let's talk, let's holler, just holler at me on Tuesdays and Thursdays at 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific. And, you know, we could talk about the subject. We may have a whole night about you talking about this subject, and you may be a co-host to me. But tonight, I have been your hostess for the evening, Miss Inez, CEO and fashion designer of Anaisaku Design. And my 66th birthday is coming up, so we're going to be having a soiree, rags to riches to Route 66 soiree. And so love for you to join us. I'll be getting more information out. So thank you again for joining us this evening, this Thursday. April the 18th, 2024. And the thought of the week is, there's no better time for a fresh start than the moment of change. There's no better time for a fresh start than the moment of change. Hey, we all need a change, so, you know, hope it's a good change for you. Again, thank you for joining us this evening. Be blessed. And, as I always say, if nobody's told you that they love you, I love you, and God does too. And don't forget to love one another and love on one another. And if you have an opt with a friend or with your cousin, with your relative, with your sibling, make sure you smush that, crush that, and bring peace to your atmosphere and your serenity around you. Again, thank you for joining us. Miss Inez says, let's talk about it, and we're ending out with Can We Talk by Kevin Campbell. Amen. Love you. Good night.